Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three young boys are sent off to challenge the various island trials, all leading up to the fight with the great kahunas themselves. As always, I am your Popolio trainer, Zach, and joined with me are...
Your Litten trainer, Zach, if I had the game.
And your Rowlet, the best of all starters trainer, Steven.
And we are recording here live at Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles in Parker, Colorado. And
John that's your thing.
Just at us. How rude. And we are surrounded by so many wonderful and talented people. The amazing Sorrow Hang is here, as well as Jason Meets of Jason Meets Illustrated.
He's in the back.
So, yeah,
somewhere over there.
We're looking for the sun.
It doesn't exist, John.
We are in the shadows. Today.
It's going to, like, stop right as it gets to the tables.
I really hope that the drainage pipe makes it into the recording.
We'll get over it.
But it's, like, 35 degrees, and we're outside recording. There is one heat lamp that we're ever so grateful for. So, yeah.
It's going to be cold.
But, dude, Pokemon's out.
Yeah, it is.
For you guys. I'm not playing.
Pokemon, and, Sun, and
correction,
Moon.
It's 47 degrees right now.
Oh, I apologize.
Feels like 47 degrees.
Whatever. So, like I said, I started with the Popplio because the clown seal Pokemon looks awesome.
Dude, it's all about the Rowlet. He evolves into the Green Arrow.
Come on, man. Freaking Macho Man Randy Cat.
Okay, but the fact that every generation fire starter ends up on two legs at the end of its final form is kind of annoying.
I mean, the last three have been firefighting, which is kind of annoying.
But now we got Fire Dark.
Which it's still
is
on
it
two
dark?
Legs.
He is Fire Dark.
And
oh,
it's
okay. I thought it was
mega fighting. Buff.
And he's got a wrestling championship belt.
Yeah.
And his Z-move summons you into a wrestling ring.
Macho Man Randy Cat.
Version, I'm going to do Macho Man Cat.
I was going to go Rowlet the second time around. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. I've put in like maybe 3 hours of Pokemon. How about you?
I'm trying to think, because I know I took a lot of breaks in between watching stuff, but I think I put in maybe 4 hours.
So, like, for 42 minutes, I was trying to find a Pichu, which has, like, a 45% chance of spawning, and couldn't find one.
I spent about half an hour fighting Smeargles and their bastards, because they used to struggle right off the bat and hurt themselves.
I've just been waiting for Final Fantasy to come out, and I don't know what to do with myself when I'm not playing Battlefield.
I do play World of Final Fantasy, only on PS4. Like I am.
So go ahead and get a PS4 and get World of Final Fantasy.
You can get a PS4 Pro. After all, Persona's not coming out ever.
I just bought a freaking $1,300 laptop.
It's only delayed till April.
So.
Don't shit on my dreams like this.
I mean,
this is like the purchase has been done for the next 6 months. So.
This is the third time Persona's been delayed?
Yep.
Fourth time?
It's been a while.
I think it's already supposed to have been out by now for us.
No, I think it was supposed to come out in December.
It was supposed to come out on Valentine's Day after the first delay, I think.
Yeah, that was the original plan, was Valentine's Day 2017, and now it's even farther back.
Because you know what Japan likes doing with my heart, destroying it. Well, oh, what's that, a JRPG you're excited for? We're going to move
Steven,
it back.
Steven, once Final Fantasy comes out, you'll be occupied for the next month anyway.
I don't know, I'm getting Final
Only
Fantasy
Only a full 120 what? Hours
what is
of
wrong
gameplay.
Final Fantasy is going to be amazing. I took the freaking day of work off, and I'm going to binge that from 10
I got
p.m.
screwed so hard, because my one day off from school... was the original date that Final Fantasy came out, and now I have my Thanksgiving week-long break.
You got Pokemon for that.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy comes out like the week after, so I'm going to be sitting there. I'm like, all right, I have to wait like 2 or 3 weeks in order to play
anything. Well, since I only had 2 days off left for the rest of the year, and I had to use them, and since Christmas is a weird, it's on a Sunday this year, I'm just going to take a week-long at Thanksgiving. Like, why not? Just so I have... Pretty much, I go and work Wednesday, and I come back.
Let's go visit Steven at work.
Just say hi.
Steven, my printer is broken.
It's copy machines, sir.
My printer is also a copy machine.
It's also a gun.
Okay. So, Zach has some really excited news regarding a comic.
We finally got word that Rat Queens is coming back.
Does it have the original artist on it?
It's not the original artist.
Jail
the original,
or
no.
something? No.
Yeah, the original artist, he went to jail, and that was a weird time. Sweet. Apparently in the series. Got the second artist who then had family issues, or the second artist finished the first story, and then the third artist who started this arc that got one issue in had family issues, so they went on hiatus, and now we have a brand new artist, So Curtis J. Webb has recruited artist and colorist Owen Guiney of Negative Space Glory Manifest Destiny. Okay. And they're describing this as a soft, fresh reboot.
Okay.
So it's going to be back at number one. But, yeah, I'm really excited that it's finally coming back. It's going to be back in March. The first arc is titled Cat Kings and Other Garys. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I what got me excited, I know you've been talking about it for a while, but during Denver Comic Con, I went to, like, this panel on comic books and literary theory. And this guy had a presentation on Rat Queens, essentially that, you know, it's the anti-Tolkien, where the, you know, the halfling is, like, still this thief character, but, like, a raging drug addict.
Yeah! Freaking, oh, God, Betty. That's her name.
Yeah, it's been so long since an issue came out that you forgot the characters' names.
Yeah, it has. I just remember Hannah, the half-demon witch, who we don't know if she's going to be back in this or not.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited for it, especially my girlfriend and I, Kayla. She and I have been researching RPGs and tabletops, and I actually spent
this
$15 on Humble Bundle and got 12 RPG manuals.
Oh, nice.
So I got, like, the entire Mistborn tabletop RPG, the entire Dresden Files RPG, and something called A Song of Fire and Ice.
I wonder what that
it's
is.
It's like a Game of Thrones thing, I think.
Yeah, I think.
So I have all of those.
Like this terrible story that no one likes. Maybe they turned it into a TV show that's terrible. Yeah,
does Kayla read Rat Queens?
Or is no, she doesn't.
I feel like she'd love it because it's... The way it was first pitched to me is it's a D&D group, in a fantasy world, like, come to life.
That's pretty sweet. So,
like, each character has their own, like, archetypes and tropes.
Yeah, it's the anti-Tolkien. That's
how
Rat Queens was referred
it's
to me.
So great. So
one of the things that, crap, what was I going to say? But as she and I are working on this RPG thing, we're getting really excited. Just finding basic stuff. And I found this website called Who the Fuck is My D&D Character? And it, like, randomizes your character, your class, your race, and gives you, like, a little bit of a backstory. And I was really excited reading that. But I'm pretty committed to doing a death metal kazoo-bearing bard. So
nice.
It's going to be really exciting once we get that off the ground.
So stay tuned for that.
Eventually.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for I don't know how long.
Well, we have a bunch of...
It'll come out at about the same time as our Let's Plays.
It'll come out the same time as Overcooked Part 2.
It's a slow burn.
Steve, I gave you the files.
I know I'm working on something else first before Overcooked.
Hi, Jason.
All right, fine.
Something that's easy to finish.
Jason's here.
All right. In regards to new comics, the new Darth Maul miniseries is coming out by Colin Bunn and Luke Ross. I'm excited for the fact that Colin Bunn's going to be working on a Star Wars book because his, like, Sinestro, his Harrow County, that stuff is really awesome. Mm-hmm. But I'm so sick and tired of Darth Maul at this point.
Yeah.
But he was such a great character in Rebels.
Yeah, for the one episode.
Is he already gone? Two episodes.
They already kill him off again.
No, he was in Twilight of the Apprentice.
Part 1 and 2.
Part 1 and 2. And then
he was
came
in
back
the season,
for the season.
Or episode 2 of the season? Yeah, episode
yes.
2.
Yes. To steal
the holocrons.
The holocrons that
naturally
Ezra and the team got.
Because, you know, that's Darth Maul's whole MO. I got to do things for myself.
He's
man.
Such an old man, though. He's like,
he really? Oh, yeah,
Ezra, I need an apprentice. Look at my banged up lightsaber.
Every time you've done this, Maul, you always get just your shit pushed in.
It's always one step forward, two steps back with those robotic legs, am I right?
Yeah.
Got that firmware update.
What I hope
it's funny
for
is
if the Ahsoka novel does well, I would really love an Ahsoka comic series.
I want
maybe
Boba
after
Fett.
Rebels or the whole Twilight of the Apprentice thing.
That's what
like,
I said.
Happens?
It's like, look, another not Boba Fett series. And regarding Ahsoka, I think Filoni's just like keeping her. It's like, we're going to use her again. Just you wait. Just you wait. She's coming back. Fulcrum. Come on. He's just finding a good way to reintroduce her into the series.
I just want my Boba Fett.
I think Boba Fett's. Boba Fett got way overdone in like the original extended universe, so I'm not too geared having him come back.
But most of the extended universe doesn't exist anymore.
I feel like we could use some more characters like Dr. Aphra, like new characters that we haven't seen in the universe and get there on time.
A dedicated BB-8 series. just
Ryan, have you street pass yet?
I got a street pass then.
Sorry. The other Pokemon person came over. So,
naturally,
the Darth Maul series is supposed to be like a prequel to everything before he met Palpatine and whatnot. So it's a lot of his backstory.
So he's going to be angsty. Lots
of
angst.
My God, an angsty teenage Darth Maul.
As if he wasn't angsty enough.
Well, it's like
you're not my real dad, Palpatine.
He's already being trained, and then he tries to get his own apprentice at some point. And
again,
I don't think that'll work out.
Pretty much his whole MO the whole time he's been on Clone Wars and Rebels, it sounds like.
Yep.
Like, even when he was under Palpatine, he was like, brother, be my apprentice. And then they both die. So, die. I think his brother actually does die, though, if I remember right.
But he might be the one on Tatooine. We don't know.
You don't know, man.
They might not use Obi-Wan, but who knows? Like, give me my Obi-Wan solo series of him escaping Order 66.
What and what happens between 3 and 4?
Well, I mean, Jason Aaron already does that with the Star Wars title.
Yeah.
All those little interludes. To the point that he's now doing a Yoda series instead of Obi-Wan now.
What did Yoda do? He went to Dagobah.
I would love for, like, after he writes that, like, it just ruins his writing style. He just starts writing in Yoda for everything by accident.
He's writing Thor. Actually, Thor might not be that different.
It wouldn't be a two out of place.
Oh, goodness. So, I saw something on Twitter this morning when I was, like, praising comic book creators. Like, Tim Seeley will give me a like every time I mention him in a comment, which makes me as happy as a little schoolgirl. But Tom King had a very obscure tweet about how he's writing a follow-up to Sheriff Vision Omega, Mega Man. So I'm tentatively calling it Sheriff Omega Vision.
I think Vision of the Omega Sheriff is better.
Vision of the Omega Sheriff. That might be cool. Because we know that Sheriff of Babylon is coming back. They released
a
teaser
really?
For it.
Oh, that's cool.
Where it's a sheriff badge but in the desert, but like the underneath part where it says like the city or whatever is like obscured by the sand. So having like another sheriff series would be really cool. But he's calling it like his follow-up to the trilogy of good intentions. So I'm really excited for it. And
I really
hope it's a new Legion book. Because the Legion of Superheroes need to come back. Like, they got shafted so hard in the New 52.
Yeah, there is that little teaser that's been sitting out there from Rebirth that no one's touched
yet. And Supergirl,
yet.
I think.
No, they drew a little Legion symbol in the glass in, was it Batman issue 9? And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, yes, another step closer.
So we have two tiny teasers.
To the edge.
Two tiny teasers that no one's touched yet.
And I'm about to break.
Thank you for following that
up. The untouched tiny teaser.
Well, Superman mentioned Saturn Girl, too, so it's like another small little tease. But someone's like, it's either the Jane Doe is either, oh, wait, we're watching Artists Intermingle, but it's either a tease
doing.
For
they're
Legion
like,
or a tease
are
for...
Are we going to have a show off over here?
I think they're trading a Spider-Gwen and a Batgirl. We're just staring them down.
Watching to see what happens.
See what's happening. What's going
How's
on
it going, guys? Yeah, have you ever wanted your own narrator for your life? We can do that really quick. So, it's really cool and really exciting that Tom King is getting, like, way more reign in the DC universe. Because he's only writing Sheriff and Batman. It's kind of like how Scott Snyder only wrote two titles on his exclusive contract. You're just kind of waiting. It's like, come on, give us a little more, please.
More.
Just give us everything.
It's like Greg Weisman when he keeps adding characters to Young Justice. Greg, we already have a lot of characters. I need more.
You gave this random one-off character a name. Yeah, that's Stephanie Brown. Didn't you read the fourth volume of Young Justice Invasion where there's missing wanted signs of Stephanie Brown in Gotham City? Jeez, peasants.
Get on my level.
Yeah, it's great. I can't wait for Young Justice to come back, and I can't wait for Tom King to announce.
It's gonna be like
thing.
Another year too, which sucks.
Yeah,
because they're just starting pre-production.
I just can't wait.
We're just glad it exists.
I really want Nightwing to be the Den Mother, not a leader, but he's just there taking care of people, and Damian's on the team. That's my hope and joy.
Yeah, it's like Dick's running around in Bloodhaven or something, and Tim's the leader.
Yeah. And then Steve has his own little exclusive announcement,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the series of unfortunate events, the full trailer came out.
It looks so cheesy, but it's
and
like
it's
the
so
right amount of cheese.
It.
It's the perfect tone.
Like, the amount of corny cheesiness in that trailer is the perfect amount from those books.
What's so weird when you say it's like a butter biscuit?
I would say it's maybe like a Cheddar Bay biscuit.
Okay.
It's like they took the movie and then they just extended it into a full series.
One the way it should have been.
And one of the things I saw was people were commenting, is like, okay, so Neil Patrick Harris is playing Jim Carrey playing Count Olaf.
And Patrick Warburton is Lemony Snicket. So good.
Patrick Warburton.
I think he has the perfect tone.
Is he Kronk?
Yeah.
Yes, he is Kronk.
Okay.
And the Tick.
Oh, the Tick.
Tick is coming back eventually, too, on Amazon.
Yep.
But right, with a completely different cast.
Yep.
No Patrick Warburton as the Tick. And no,
oh, that's dumb.
So far, no Batman Well, which makes me sad.
Hey, we know you got excited about this Tick series with all these characters in their one-shot. They're not going to be in their regular series, though.
As long as they bring in Batman Well, I'm okay. Because that was the greatest knockoff hero ever.
Yes. I can't tell how long the series is. It looks like they're trying to do all the books
at
once.
It looks like
wait, what are we talking about?
Series of Unfortunate Events.
Okay.
It looks like maybe from the trailer, season one might be the first three books.
Okay.
So, like Zach said, they're stretching everything back out.
I saw the house. I saw the, like, asylum type place.
He was the captain in one of the still frames, too.
Yeah, that was that's from the third book.
Yeah, that's from the third book. I think the house falling off the cliffs from the third book as well, right?
Because it's propped up on the side of the cliff. And then
the second book is
the reptile room.
Yeah. Yeah, like the really brightly colored one.
And where Neil Patrick Harris is in, like, a bald cap and a long beard.
Yeah.
That's Stefano.
Okay, doke. I still haven't read anything.
It's going to be so good, and I want to go back and reread the books.
I love the scene at the very end with Neil Patrick Harris where they keep one-upping each other with the knives. It was like, this is the perfect amount of cheese I want in this series.
Okay.
And I feel like it's going to give more face time to Count Olaf, which I'm excited for because I've always loved that character.
It sounds interesting. I'll probably check it out once it comes out.
I'm going to reread. I have the first 12 books at my parents' house, and I'm going
to
read
all
of them.
When I go to my parents' house, I'm going to find all of mine in.
I'm going to rent them at my local library.
What's a library?
I don't know. It's a place where you get CDs and video games, apparently.
And print stuff.
Yeah. I've been so close to actually going to a library just so I can 3D print a Batman cowl.
I needed to print something. And, like, that night, so I actually contemplated going to a library to print it because I don't have a printer.
Oh, my goodness. What an age we've come to.
Yep. Everything's digital, man.
Something?
What do you mean I have to print something?
Well, there was a building that had computers that allowed me to
print
things.
I had to mail something the other day.
Yeah, I had to mail in a ballot. What is that?
Yeah.
Why is it everything done online?
I mean, you could have dropped it off.
I could have.
Well, no. It was really funny because the thing I needed to mail was, like, silk pages for my thesis to be binded.
Silk pages?
Yeah, like, they're the really high-quality paper. Like, they're, like, the fabric-y paper.
Okay.
So, like, they're silky pages, and I had to sign them and then mail them back. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, crap, I have to remember how to write a return address. I haven't mailed anything since I was, like, 12.
If I ever mail something, you type it in, and it prints out a tag for you. And
yeah.
And it's like, what's my address again? Yeah.
Yeah. Even then, I mailed my I mailed my old X and Y DS, and I had to find like an envelope big enough for it. So, you know, but even then, FedEx took care of the mailing ticket for me. That's all I needed.
Yeah. Or yeah. The worst is with like Amazon when you send something into them, like either you're.
Oh, and it takes like 2 weeks for them to give you an update.
No, like either you're like. You're sending something in for like Amazon credit, or you have to like return something.
Okay.
What's nice is they give you the full label.
Yeah.
That's what I had to do. Like, I had to print out an Amazon label.
This week we talk about being adults on the Z2 podcast.
So taxes, am I right?
What are taxes? Am I supposed to pay those?
Things that you're gonna have to do in a few months.
Death and taxes.
Oh, is it the other day? Nah, never mind.
We are gonna have to do this pretty soon.
Okay.
Tangent done.
Well, tangent over.
Tangent number one done.
Fuck Ant-Man, am I right?
Ding, ding.
I actually brought a roll of quarters, and I left them in my car.
You fool.
Before I went up to Zach's
place. Can I just start, like, adding a sound effect?
No, we're good.
Just like a chinging.
The Pavlovian dog response. Yeah.
Have a contest where someone keeps track of how much change you've donated.
Google spreadsheet. All right, so I actually watched this morning, but the Justice League Dark trailer came out.
Yeah, it looks good.
And it has, like, the, not the OG team, but it has, like, close the enough. Popular team from the Dark comic. I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, Jason Blood's there, and Etrigan's there, and Black Orchid, and no one knows who Black Orchid is.
At first I didn't know who Zatanna was when they were, like, driving in the car.
I
know who Zatanna is, but when, like, they showed her, I'm like, Who is that?
That was her New 52 costume because they ditched the tuxedo outfit.
Yeah, I had no idea what her New 52 looked like, so I was like, who is it? Oh, it's Zatanna. Okay. And I love Deadman.
Yeah, he sounded perfect.
Yeah.
Just that Boston
brand.
Freaking Boston brand, man. So it's exciting. I'm really curious to see how this trailer this movie goes because
it's the second
Batman's
rated R1.
Batman's first response is like, it's magic. We have to get John Constantine. Yeah. No one willingly works with John Constantine.
Yeah, no.
This is so out of character.
Wait, we're dealing with magic. Let's go get John Constantine. Like, yeah.
Well, isn't that pretty much how all of Constantine's interactions go? Like, somebody either needs him or he finds them.
It's magic. Let's get John Constantine. Tagline for the show.
It's either a con that Constantine pulls or, like you said,
Constantine.
We
need a pun jar, too.
Yep.
We'll see who wins out, puns or Zach's hatred of Ant-Man.
It's not a good movie.
You know, Zach.
But yeah, I'm really excited because, like I said, there's really obscure characters in there, too. Like, I would never expect to see Black Orchid in that movie. And then Swamp Thing sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing.
The little Batman quip at the end was just the perfect little bow on the present that is the movie. She was talking about how, like, Batman's lonely and, like, how do you survive? Like, I have a butler. It's like Batman in a nutshell.
Those WB movies are putting, like, just the perfect stingers at the end. I heard you talk to fish. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, Batman puns. Batman one-liners to wrap everything up.
That's the way Wonder Woman movie, the trailer.
It just shows Batman right at the end, just with a one-liner. Like, he's not even in this movie, but we needed that one-liner wrap up.
I mean,
trailer.
He could be at the end.
Yeah, he could.
No. The way it is that the entire thing is told in a flashback by Wonder Woman to Batman, and then they leave to go recruit the Justice League. That's how it's going
to
work.
Or then
I think, maybe.
I need to go talk to a man
Or he asks her the question, what made you come back?
How are you so wonderful? Just flirts with her the entire time.
Trailer ends.
It's like, so, Steve Trevor's dead, right? Oh, no, stop.
Oh, no, let me comfort you.
Don't remind me.
In the only way that Batman can.
But no, Steve Trevor's great-grandson's going to appear looking exactly like him.
And then he's going to go into space and become, what's his name, Zach?
Kirk.
There you go. What's his full name?
He remembers.
Worf. Okay, so in other great news, Jeff Smith's Bone series is going to be adapted into a movie by the Kung Fu Panda director, Mark Osborne, and I'm really excited. Did you ever read Bone?
I did not. I know it has like a cult following, but...
Do you read Bone?
Nope.
It's
don't
awesome.
Know what it is.
Bone is such a little fantastic series.
Like, I've heard of it, but I've never actually gone in and read anything about
I'm sure if you see it, you've probably... If I showed you, like, the main character, you've probably seen that character before.
I've seen, like, stuff about Bone before, but I've never read anything for it.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited because Mark Osborne does such a wonderful job with all of Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, yeah, I've loved it. Like, I thought, like, after the first one, I was like, all right, second one's going to be bad. But it was actually good. The third one came out, I was like, this is actually still pretty good.
And the TV show is great, too. Even though it didn't have
awesomeness.
Yeah, even though it didn't have Jack Black, it had a guy that sounded exactly like him.
That's what they do with TV show. They did that with Clone Wars, too. They didn't actually get Ewan McGregor and Samuel L. Jackson.
What? Samuel L. Jackson wasn't in Clone Wars?
But in How to Train Your Dragon, they still have, what's his name?
Jay Baruchel.
Yeah.
Is he, what's his
He's
face?
Hiccup,
yeah.
Yeah, so basically the entire movie cast came back to do the show because they had a Netflix budget.
Oh.
Well, they had a TV budget at first, and they had a Netflix budget.
So their budget was great.
And then they had a second movie budget.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, the movies have been, like, booming. And then once How to Train Your Dragon 3 comes out, everyone's going to be heartbroken and crying.
I mean, the second movie was pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was.
Well, the third movie is about how the dragons disappear.
What?
The third movie is about how the dragons disappear and leave.
Oh,
So like
but toothless.
Like the 12th or 13th book came out, and one of my students read it, and I just told him to tell me the ending because I didn't want to read the first 12. I'm like, so how did the dragons disappear? You got to tell me. And I'm not going to say it for spoiler reasons because it might be in the movie. But I'm like, hey, that's not bad. Good on you.
Yeah.
But
I just thought it took some freaking guts. I was like, oh, they actually showed his full death.
Yeah.
Well, they like, showed Hiccup losing a foot in the first movie.
They didn't show him explicitly lose it. They just showed
it was
that
an off-screen thing. It was like,
that's fair.
Like, oh, yeah, this happened while you were passed out. And, but the
like
second one, they're
like,
no, you're going to watch him die.
Well, in, like, the books, not Nightwing. Freaking Toothless. I want to say Night Fury, and then I said Nightwing instead. Toothless is about the size of, like, your two mugs stacked on top of each other.
Wait, what?
That's how big Toothless is. Toothless
like
is not
tiny.
A Night Fury. Yeah, in the actual books, he's not a Night Fury. He's, like, another species entirely. And Astrid's dragon is actually, like, Hiccup's main dragon or something along those lines. Astrid doesn't exist in the books.
Really?
Yeah.
But what about that love interest?
Astrid is dope.
Another love interest who has a lot of similar traits to Astrid, but is actually better than Astrid in every way, from what King of the Wilder West on Tumblr tells me. He runs, like, the biggest How to Train Your Dragon blog on all of Tumblr.
I thought we know them.
We do.
Okay. You're speaking about them in the third person. I was like,
yeah.
I thought we knew this person.
Because he's plugging them.
Yeah, I'm plugging them.
Okay.
Like, go check them out on Tumblr.
Yeah, go check him out on Tumblr. And he literally created a meme on Tumblr. Like, after the second movie, there is, like, the Grounded Dungeon, and that became a whole thing around the same time as the Skeleton War. So it was a whole thing. But
it's like I memed myself.
Yeah. And speaking of directors, the John Wick director, David Leitch, is going to be on Deadpool 2.
Oh, sweet.
Which could be very interesting because John Wick was fantastic. John Wick 2 coming out soon, but
he has a dog.
I've never seen the John Wick movies.
It's ridiculous. Is
it Keanu?
Yeah, it's Keanu, but a ridiculous amount of action because they killed his dog.
Okay.
That's the whole premise.
Well, don't they kill his entire family and then they kill his dog?
No, his whole family's already been dead,
yeah.
But
okay.
He had this dog.
He had a dog. That
was actually
like
the only thing he had in the world. And then they killed it. And then
oh, there's
like,
cake?
Say, what?
But we have candy.
Oh, hell, I want cake.
All right, go get cake.
I'm going to get cake. I'll be back.
So I'm really excited because from what I saw in trailers, John Wick had some really awesome fight scenes. So I wonder if they're going to retain that same thing. Do you want cake too?
Nah.
Okay. I was going to yell for him. So I'm kind of excited. It seems really interesting that this other director's hopping on. And I wonder if it's going to be like a Justin Lin thing where he's only there to provide action sequences and whatnot. Thanks for taking the free candy. You're awesome.
I hope they retain the Deadpool kind of feel.
Well, the right.
But then make these brutally awesome action scenes.
Well, that's what, like, the quote-unquote Deadpool test footage was.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, that probably wasn't ever test footage. It was like, let's secretly leak this.
Yeah, it's like, this
to
is
get
going
the
to be
word
an
going.
Actual part of the movie.
Yeah.
We'll redo it later, but it's test footage. Ooh.
That was the first scene in the movie, right? It's been a while since I saw Deadpool.
First?
Like, the first big action sequence.
Like, after the first flashback when he jumps, falls down into the car.
Right.
That's what the test footage was, just redone a little bit.
Okay. Sounds cool. Zach, I don't know if it was you or Zach who added this Ghost in the Shell thing.
Probably Zach.
I haven't looked at it.
Yeah,
he's coming back with his cake. And let me tell you, cake is a lie. I don't know if you've ever heard that. It's like a small little meme thing or something. I don't know. It's like this Game of Thrones thing everyone keeps talking about. I have no idea what it is. But I found a way for people to make me watch Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Just give them lightsabers to everything. You need to check it out. Go on YouTube, type in Game of Thrones lightsabers, and it's the Battle of the Tower.
You can just use your imagination to.
But they don't make the whoosh sounds.
You can make the whoosh sounds in your head.
I don't like doing that.
Either that, or we'll be sitting there watching, and all we hear is.
Did you at least watch the Battle of the Bastards episode?
I haven't had time to watch anything.
You just
watch
go
that
watch
one.
That episode.
And then
it'll
be like,
the
well,
greatest
I need
episode
to go back and
I've ever watched.
I've literally not watched anything this week or played anything this week. I've just been busy, just running around, doing errands, and started the trimester and everything at my school. It's been a whole thing.
Yeah, but you got next week off, so.
It's 45 minutes.
I gotta catch up on Westworld.
Zag, just take
while
49
you're on
minutes.
HBO
it
Go.
Is some of the best TV I've ever watched.
Clearly, you not have
episode.
Watched Westworld.
It got,
no, I haven't watched Westworld.
It is one of the
yet.
Few things that ever got a perfect score on IMDb. A 10 out of 10.
It won an award.
Very few things actually get that. But this episode, the best episode of the series.
But then I have to rewatch all of them. I have.
No, you don't need any other context other than it's Jon Snow and Ramsay.
And if it makes you feel better, you can make the lightsaber sounds while they're fighting.
Oh, thanks. I own the first four seasons on Blu-ray. I just.
Then
have,
watch them.
I just have no, like, yeah. feel or drive to do it. Like I said, I bought them for my dad, and I have them myself, too. And it's just kind of like, they're in shrink wrap next to, like, Arrow Seasons 1 and 2 in shrink wrap. Because, I think I opened Arrow Season 2 because that was probably my favorite season. And I wanted to rewatch
season.
It. Yeah. But,
it is the best season.
All right, so you want to talk about Ghost in the Shell thingy?
Oh, yeah.
The Shell
so,
and the Ghost.
Someone took a side-by-side comparison of the trailer we just saw. In the written, pretty much crop shots from the original
yeah, standalone
movie.
Complex,
and they're actually like really close. Like maybe this movie won't actually be that bad.
Ooh, I saw that scene on
oh, fuck you, B.
Fan service. God,
go away, B.
I wonder if that was the B that was in my car.
Oh, God,
I drove with a B in my car from Walmart to your house.
You also have a lot of freaking sugar around.
I don't know what you're talking
really
about.
It's really cool, like. The first shot with the assassination, like,
yeah.
that is spot on. Like, even when the way she moves is almost identical to the original.
I hope that they actually do take that scene and frame for frame redo it, because where she goes invisible and then, like, does the hand wipe of the face
yeah.
is one of the greatest scenes ever. Where, like, she's falling down, staring at them, like, ha sucks for you.
Yeah. Like, it's not, there's some shots that aren't 100% identical, but they're
right.
pretty close in, like, their execution. But I don't know. Maybe this actually won't be that bad of a live-action movie. It seems like the only thing they're doing is messing with the fact that she cares about her backstory so much,
right.
which isn't really in the first movie.
Yeah, in the first actually couple movies, they don't touch on her backstory at all.
No, she just kind of accepts it.
It's kind of a vague thing that they don't really bring into focus.
I can't remember if they go in depth on it with Standalone Complex, the series.
I think they might have touched
I think
on
they
it,
might,
but it wasn't,
yeah.
it's never been a huge thing.
Yeah, they always
have
kind of focus on like the way other people have kind of moved with this world.
Yeah.
That's fair. Like I said, I've never watched a Ghost in the Shell thing. And
I'd
I've,
say, if anything, beforehand, just watch the first Standalone Complex movie.
Yeah.
And
no, not even Standalone Complex, just the first movie.
Yeah.
All right,
because there's
so.
Two movies. There's the OG Ghost in the Shell, and then there's Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, and then there's the full series.
All right.
I'd say maybe just watch the movies, and you'll be good to go for it.
Who wants to tell Kayla that I can't visit her for Thanksgiving because I have to watch Game of Thrones and Ghost in the Shell now?
She might understand.
It's not going to take you all day.
I was
you just
hours.
Have to watch the one episode.
It'll
I
take
was,
your morning, maybe.
I was sitting there last night. I'm like, I should go see Fantastic Beasts. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, Kayla would get really mad if I saw Fantastic Beasts without her. So I think I might have to wait.
But, I thought about going to see it today. And then like, oh, wait, no, we have to go record.
We can do it tomorrow.
I mean, you can still see it later, see it.
Yeah. But,
but I mean, it's late.
That,
I'm tired.
That means going out
you're gonna be
twice.
Here all day.
Well, you say that, but last time we were here for 4 hours.
Yeah, we gotta talk to Sorrow again about like the weird stuff he draws.
Well, it'll go along with our discussion topic later, or the first part of our discussion topic.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Oh, speaking of video games from earlier, should have brought this up at first when we were talking about it. Dragon Age Inquisition is already 2 years old. How?
And I still have yet to do a nightmare playthrough.
I still feel like I played this game yesterday.
That was the game that made me stop playing Destiny.
Yeah, it was.
Like. Again, we joke around about it, and I actually played, like, an hour of Destiny again with you guys and then uninstalled it. But,
why do you do this?
I just could not do it. But playing Dragon Age again, or not even me playing it, but I'm watching Kayla play it right now. And part of it kind of hurts.
She's starting to figure out hand-eye coordination.
A little bit. But, like, at the same time, I'm like, Kayla, turn left.
Same time.
Kayla, yeah. turn left. She's like, why do I want to turn left? There's an item over there. You can use it and equip it. And she's like, but I want to play it my way. And I'm like, no, I played this game three times, Kayla.
It's like you could play it your way, just maybe add a little bit of my way in there.
Four.
It's like the thing. It's the Portal effect that you can't sit next to someone.
You can't
playing
watch
Portal.
Yeah.
Like
you can't
start yelling
watch
at them.
Someone playing a game you know you've played so much because you know all the little details of how to properly play it.
Kingdom Hearts 2. I could speedrun that shit all day.
Yeah.
Mile High Club.
But yeah, it was surprising
God,
to me.
Mile High Club.
Because that was such a great game.
I will never again do Mile High Club.
So it makes you wonder, yeah. Like, is the next Dragon Age game closer than we think?
Well, there is a whole thing about
them. Because it's two different studios working on Mass Effect and Dragon
yeah,
Age.
Yeah, there's a whole thing. Alistair's voice actor was like, oh man, it's almost the 7th, isn't it? And then like redid his entire Twitter background and his profile icon. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be a Dragon Age announcement. No, but it was more Andromeda news. And I'm like,
it was N7 Day, not Dragon Age Day.
Andromeda.
Did you see on Amazon Andromeda's being released in December of 2017?
No, that's just a tentative release.
Yeah, it's the placeholder really. Because that means it'll come out somewhere
yeah.
in 2017.
Yeah, don't worry.
Well,
Kingdom Hearts has the same placeholder.
If the data mining is correct, it should be like March 21st or sometime around
I remember
that.
When Kingdom Hearts 3 was for December of 2016. Now it's December of 2017. Just wait, it'll be December of 2018 before we know it.
All right, so we have a pun jar, a fuck Ant-Man jar,
yeah.
and Kingdom Hearts jar.
Yep.
Yeah.
We will afford a studio one day.
The Square Enix salt jar.
The Square Enix salt jar. Did you see there's 15 different pre-order bonuses for freaking Final Fantasy 15?
What the hell?
Is it like pre-order at GameStop, get this, pre-order at Walmart, get this?
Exactly.
Target,
pre-order
get this.
Amazon, get this. Amazon, I pre-ordered a collector's edition from Square Enix, so I can't do anything about it. But in one of them, you get Lightning's Blazefire Saber and Fang's Gale Bog.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Gale Bog. And I'm like, should have ordered from there. It's too late.
But I'm still contemplating getting 15.
I'm just doing the digital
out.
One.
Oh, so you're getting the digital, so I'll get your pre-order bonuses, and you'll probably get my pre-order bonuses from Square Enix.
Maybe.
All you get, sadly, is freaking a yellow car.
Woo!
And you'll get a car with 8-bit decals on it and Sephiroth's Masamune.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's probably not going to be as long as Sephiroth's Masamune.
If you, once I buy, which is going to be next Thursday when I pre-order, once I get paid, you'll have it pre-downloaded so you don't have to wait.
So that means I'll leave my collector's edition in the shrink wrap for it to be of no value in the next 5 years.
Give the disc to Steven.
As long as I keep the steelbook.
You can keep the steelbook. I'll just take the disc.
Maybe
I'll buy
I want
a cheap
the
case to put it in there.
But, yeah, you know, Dragon Age is actually one of those games where it's like, I can vividly remember all these small details, and it's just because it's a really great narrative-based game. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh my goodness, the tutorial of learning how to play this game is crazy, but at the same time, it's like, no, this is a classy game. Like, freaking Dragon Age, along with, like, KOTOR, were the first American RPGs I ever played that, like, instilled the trust of BioWare, even though I've never played a Mass Effect yet. I started playing Jade Empire on the original Xbox.
Why do you do this to me?
Jade Empire is great.
I love Dragon Age, but Mass Effect is, like, my thing. I love
sci-fi. I know, then Dragon Age is my thing.
Because it's Dragon Age in space.
But the thing is, I've played both multiple times.
Have you played Jade Empire?
I actually haven't.
See?
I've played a Baldur's Gate.
I'm just waiting for the Mass Effect after Andromeda being Mass Effect KOTOR. Combine into one.
Just lightsabers.
It could be.
The ultimate creation.
It's quite possible because they've said that this isn't a start of a new trilogy. It's just...
It's like a one-off story.
Yeah, it could be just a one-off story.
So the next one-off story could be KOTOR Mass Effect.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like how Dragon Age goes already, where every protagonist is a different character each game.
Except that they're all in the same world, which I guess is... They could be doing with Mass Effect now.
Yeah, it's like...
All Star Wars says is in a galaxy far, far away. So all they need to do is get a Mass Effect relay to a galaxy far, far away.
Because the workings of Mass Effect, you're in the Andromeda Galaxy. You have four ships containing life vessels on them. So any one of those characters could be a brand new character for this new Mass Effect universe. Not just the Ryder twins.
Yeah.
And then Darth Revan comes out of nowhere.
I think Revan's canon again. I'm not too sure.
Give it
I'm kind of waiting. Just waiting for
what one day they'll actually release a full thing of what is canon and what isn't.
There's a running list on the Reddit.
Of course there is. Reddit has everything.
Reddit does have everything.
Oh, speaking of Star Wars, got my Ahsoka pop. I saw the Sabine one on the back, and I'm like, I need this. Where is it?
Which one?
The Sabine one?
The one with the mask or without the mask?
With the mask.
Walgreens.
Damn it. Freaking Walgreens exclusives. Can't find any of them.
There's another exclusive one that I wanted.
Grievous.
No, it was like someone without a helmet on.
Qui-Gon.
No, not. It's not
the
Qui-Gon.
One New York Comic Con exclusive that sold Qui-Gon out on the first day.
Either way, then you stop making like exclusive pops.
So are you going to GameStop and getting like the two Vegetas that are coming in the mystery boxes?
Two Vegetas, what now?
Yeah, there's a metallic Vegeta in the Funko Black Friday box. And like there's a Super Saiyan Blue Vegeta also.
Well, I've already got Super Saiyan Blue Vegeta. Found one of those at GameStop.
So there's a gold Mega Man, metallic yellow Ranger, and I think there's two Vegetas in the box in the mystery boxes this year.
Let's rewind to that gold Mega Man.
So it's a 1 in 5 chance.
I'm numb right now. From
guess
this year.
I'll buy 5 boxes then.
I was lucky enough last year when I went to GameStop that I bought 2 boxes and got the Batgirl and the Batman, and I'm like, sweet, move on
with
my life.
Yeah, I got the Batgirl in my box. I'm like, yes, I don't need to buy any more.
Guess I know what I'm going to go look for on Fridays. Probably get a box or two. Because I want that gold Mega Man.
Yeah.
Speaking of things coming out a while ago.
15 years ago today, or maybe even yesterday, I think, Justice League, the animated series, came out.
Yep.
15 years ago.
It was only 15?
It feels like not that long ago that I was watching the first episode of them fighting the aliens, and then John Jones came out like, who is this? He's awesome.
I remember that episode. Like, I remember watching that.
Yeah, I started rewatching that series. I did too. I forgot about this series before Unlimited.
And then you're like, oh, this is awesome. Cool action. And then it gets serious. I'm like, oh, I was not expecting these feelings.
You remember when Jon Jones became, like, the Worf of the series? Where every time they needed to show someone was strong, they just blasted
Jon Jones. That was always my thing when I started watching it again of, like, okay, how long until someone goes, and they get blasted back? Because it was always the same type of, like, oh, God, they're strong.
They took out Jon. Again.
Then they went from Jon to Howl, or Hal. I don't know why I said Howl. Hal in the movies. Where it was like, all right, Darkseid, go fight him, Hal Jordan. Oh, you got beat up.
Oh.
Which was the greatest scene ever of him getting backhanded, and the Parademon just coming down, like, beating him in the ground.
Hal Jordan's a punk, though. They need Guy Gardner, best Green Lantern, or Booster Gold, best Green Lantern.
He ever was.
But no, seriously, I was thinking about it because I'm like, Justice League came out 15 years ago, and I kind of wanted to make that our discussion topic today, but we just did that.
We did that already. We can't have that again.
You guys need to start coming up with ones because I'm like starting to get like fatigue over thinking of discussion topics.
All right, I'll try and come up with something next week.
I will gladly come up with a new intro every week because I find that fun. But figuring out a discussion topic, I'm like hitting my head against a wall. I'm like, why?
Hey, you know, maybe sometimes we won't have one.
But why? It's fun. We already go on tangents. We have a dedicated tangent at the end of every episode.
At the big start.
Now we have
end.
A schedulized tangent.
Yeah. I mean, next week might be like, what's your favorite booster pack? Boba Fett or freaking Adam Strange. Who knows? Anywho. That's actually one character I wish that they would have explored in the Justice League show was Adam Strange. But we got like some of that in Young Justice at least. Them going to Ron and Thanagar and everything.
Yeah.
But Young Justice coming back after 3 years. Fuck you, Firefly.
Woo! Do we need another jar for you?
I said that and Adam was like, it's too soon. I'm like, Firefly ended. They had Serenity too and they ended. Young Justice did not end. Oh, God. Maybe it's just like the general fuck you fandom counter now. Because I'm sure all three of you Ant-Man fans out there are really happy about that character.
Let's call it the unpopular opinion jar.
I hate you so much right now.
Our bearded friend over here is just laughing at me every time I bring up Ant-Man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
Someone.
Wait, the movie or just Ant-Man himself? Okay.
What about the Ant-Man?
I just hate the movie so much. Okay.
Thank you.
What was it? We went to a Mile High Comics in Denver, and the guy was like, all right, let's nominate the worst Avenger. And I'm like, Eric O'Grady, Ant-Man.
I think it was the Glendale one. But
yeah, and I'm like, he's like, I would argue with you about that. I'm like, but he's not even relevant anymore. No one brings him up. He's like the worst Avenger. I don't know. I just have strong feelings. That is true.
Hail.
That's fair. But I really love, like, the Steve Rogers Hydra Captain thing going on right now.
The story's actually pretty cool.
It's
now.
Really entertaining.
It's actually getting fleshed out.
After the flames died down,
I'm still waiting
like,
to see. I'm still waiting
from,
to
like,
see
from,
when
like,
he finally like,
friend,
forward
Steve
and realizes what he's done. Because that's going to be one hell of a shell shock.
That's going to be great fallout. So, in other regards, to Legends of Tomorrow got 4 more episodes. So that's pretty
cool.
Specific
and, number.
And they are potentially going to be moving to Tuesdays.
They are moving, officially.
They are?
Yep.
Okay. Because I know No Tomorrow and
Some
whatever
Flash and
CW
Legends
show got canceled.
That really bad show, No Tomorrow, about the meteor about to hit
apparently
Earth.
Apparently it wasn't
the YOLO.
That bad.
It just didn't get reviewed. There's no viewership for it. Like, I don't mind it, but every single episode is like, yeah, F everything, YOLO.
I don't know. I think there's just way too many good shows that, like, why are people going to watch something mediocre?
Well, and I wonder what's going to be taking Legends place. If they're moving it to an after primetime slot, maybe Constantine might be coming back.
Oh, iZombie.
Shit.
Yeah, iZombie Kitty. Well,
iZombie is coming back
one.
In February.
Because Frequency got canceled, so the iZombie spot's back
open. Which
one was
Frequency?
Open. The Flashpoint, the series. Where the... Seriously got canceled? Yep. After how many episodes? Like three? Well, they're going to finish out their season. They're going to go into mid-season. They just didn't get ordered for extra episodes after that.
That's kind of a bummer. I mean, after like 2 episodes, Supergirl got like 4 more episodes, which is pretty all right. I'm excited for that. But like... I'm wondering what I started rewatching Legends because I never finished the first season completely. I stopped after the whole Captain Cold thing happened.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there, I'm like, they do not know the tone that they want with this show.
That's kind of what pushed me away from it in the very beginning. I'm like, this is really cool.
Season 2 is a lot better now
stuff.
That it's not the
and
Hawks
then
and
they
Friends.
Just didn't execute it at all.
Yeah.
Like, well.
Now that it's not Vandal Savage and the Hawks and Friends, it's getting a lot better.
Okay.
It's more of
yeah,
the
I think
show
I just
that everyone
did not like
wanted
that plot
from
line.
The beginning.
Because like, you need to care about both the Hawks. I really don't.
Now Hawkman's gone.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, Vandal
Savage was awesome.
Vandal Savage was cool.
But
just
they needed
Hawk,
to have a
Hawk
more
Man,
of a rotating
thing, just,
villain
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. We're listening
he's
to
fine,
our friend.
Yeah.
He's talking about how Hawkman is great. Our mics probably aren't picking you up, so
they,
I'm just shooting you back.
They might not be.
Hawkman was good.
Yeah.
So
I personally
the joining
really
of
like
the Hawkman.
I love Shaiira from Justice League Unlimited.
But
that wasn't what we got though.
No, the Shaiira that they gave us was
Kendra Hall.
I don't know what
to do. Having an existential
do.
Crisis the whole time. I don't want to be a hawk. I want to be a hawk. I don't want to be a hawk.
I
want to be a hawk.
I love you. I don't love you. I can't love you. Maybe
I'm with Rhea now. No, I'm not. We're done.
Back in 19.
Back.
Oh God,
cool.
You're dead. I care.
Back in 1944, I used to work in a machine factory. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
I met my son.
I have a son, and I watched him die. Apparently,
what?
And then it's like,
just,
look,
I don't know.
Adam and Captain Cold and. Heatwave and everyone else is here too.
Captain Cold had the best characterization in that series.
Captain Cold is still legit.
Yeah, but they could have focused on more of the team aspect.
Heatwave
yeah.
being the bad guy. He's the mercenary? I didn't finish the series. Nah. I dropped out after the Arrow crossover.
It was a very interesting twist they had, and they executed it really well too.
Did they execute anyone else at the end of the series?
Yeah.
I know the whole Captain Cold thing happened. Someone told me that because Our Man shows up. That's exciting. Has Ma Hunkle showed up yet? Okay. All right. Because when they did like the whole Instagram thing, like screenshot this and then put a filter on it to see what hidden character is going to be here. I'm like, oh, Jonah Hex. Okay. Oh, Commander Steel. Oh, Ma Hunkle, Red Tornado. Sweet. I love C-list characters. They're so amazing. But yeah, no, I see Commander Steel in all the Steel or the one shots, and then someone posted on Reddit the CW Justice League, and it has everyone from the CW shows ready for the crossover event.
Yeah, they released a trailer for it last week, where it was fully confirmed. It's like heroes versus aliens. I'm like, all right, they're not going to give us much more, but.
Barry Allen's going to travel to another universe just to recruit Supergirl to fight the aliens on his world.
The trailer was literally like Supergirl coming in with Barry and be like, it's this person, this person, this person, this person.
Okay.
And now we're ready to go.
Yeah.
But apparently the Arrow side of the crossover doesn't involve much arrowing. It's going to be Oliver in like some weird dream state where he never got on the Queen's Gambit.
I saw that, and he's married to Laurel.
He's getting ready for his wedding
to Laurel.
So
that's where that shot came from. I was like,
and
why is she back?
Sarah's still alive. How is she not back? An assassin. Both the Queen parents are still alive. It's like, interesting. And
so
then it's like, but
Black
everyone
Mercy?
Else is going
to
be fighting
and it's
the
up
aliens.
To Felicity to save the day. She's going to hack the dream sequence. Just you
I'm
wait.
In. Oh, yeah, and Felicity's dating Ray because he showed up for some reason, even though there was no need for him if the timeline kept the Queens alive.
Can we get some fresh blood on, like, I don't know, like, fresh creative teams on these shows? Because I feel like it's getting really stale. Flash is fine, but Arrow just seems like
Arrow's
it's still pretty stale.
Arrow's actually really good. They are doing a lot of good character development.
Okay.
Fair, Wild Dog's fair pretty enough. Awesome.
Fair enough.
Mr. Terrific's pretty awesome.
Mr. Terrific is always awesome. What are
you
talking about?
He's...
Ha, fair play. Ha, jazz hands.
And that concludes our pun portion of the podcast.
There's two more quarters.
Hashtag ding, ding. Kill self.
Yeah, but the team of recruits that Oliver has in this latest season is actually really entertaining because, like, Wild Dog just wants nothing to do with it, but really wants to be there.
And then Artemis is there. She's the thing, but they don't really give her much focus.
See,
I have a bow and arrow too.
I've been reading Red Hood now that when you say Artemis, I just immediately go to that one now.
But just wait till Young Justice comes back.
There was something
but then
I read.
That's not going to be Artemis. It's still going to be Tigress.
But her first name is Artemis.
But she's going to be Tigress.
There was something I read that Artemis in a storyline is the villain to Wonder Woman. I can't remember where I read this.
I think she was at
Artemis
one
the
point.
Amazon.
Yeah.
I think she was a villain, and I think she might have actually taken over for Wonder Woman at one point.
There was something I read. I cannot remember what it was. I would say my life.
I don't know. It's not like we have a computer in front of us, but we just need to move on.
I'm cold.
We're sitting here with our hands in our pockets because we're sitting on metal chairs.
The sun is going away now.
The heat lamp is pointed directly up.
The sun's just, like, rotating around the building. Like, that sucks to be you.
Yeah. But
let's finish the news and we'll take a break to warm up.
One of the really exciting things I saw was that Rooster Teeth is releasing their last documentary series of 2016. And it's called The Meme Machine.
It's all about memes.
The Meme Machine?
The Meme Machine.
How dare you?
Okay, Joe.
You dare call them memes.
The Meme.
But it's all about like where memes originated and like how meme culture was even before the internet age with like all your baseball.
Well, a meme
is
like you could define a meme as a picture used to convey information or a funny message.
Yeah, it's like
yeah,
the motivation posters.
Yeah. Like the hang in there cat could be considered a meme.
Yeah, was it SciShow? The YouTube channel? They did a whole thing on memes and they're like they said that cavemen were the original memes. Because of the cave paintings.
Yeah.
It's like they're conveying a message through a picture.
It's just meme has become nowadays a phrase meaning you take a certain picture that has become mainstream and then add text to it. Because like the Bad Luck Brian or the Overly Attached Girlfriend.
Or Joe Biden memes.
Yeah, you have those pictures have a certain connotation that you have to put a certain text to it.
Sorry, I had to finish my Jolly Rancher. But my favorite part about this documentary is that they're actually going to get the people that were memes.
Yeah, they have
like
the
Bad Luck Brian,
girlfriend.
The Overly Attached Girlfriend, are sitting there talking about their lives afterwards.
And even Trey Zonde, the Chocolate Rain guy.
Chocolate
He follows me on Twitter. I don't know why. I'm so excited.
So dope. You should really abuse that.
Yeah, because he needs the Chocolate
Just
Rain
DM
to be spread.
Him. You want to be on my podcast?
You want to sing Chocolate Rain for us?
Do you want to sing like the Batman theme song?
Copyrighted. I mean, I was telling you, too, of how a couple of years ago, Success Kid,
yeah.
His dad had, was diagnosed with cancer, and he used his success to fund the treatment.
Essentially made a charity off of his meme, and then all the proceeds he got from it, he used to help his dad get better, which is fantastic.
And he did. Like, he's cured of cancer. I saw follow-up, and he's been cured of cancer.
But then at the same time, there are people who don't like the people who are behind memes because they're essentially making money off of other people's ideas. Yeah, which is so weird, right?
Oh, wait, sorry. He needed a kidney transplant.
Okay.
Someone making money off of someone else's
ideas?
But he did,
yeah. His dad did
happens.
Get the successful kidney transplant, though. So it's pretty legit.
I know the guy that is Scumbag Steve. My friend met him at a party. And
he's still a scumbag.
He capitalizes on it. Like, he wears the coat, he wears the hat, and he just goes to parties like that.
Do you know who I am? No. He goes into
the
pose.
I'm a scumbag.
Like, they're essentially celebrities now.
Yeah.
In this day and age of the internet.
It's really interesting. I'm kind of excited by it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the culture behind it and how people made these little pictures or videos years ago not intending for any of this to happen, and now they're
What's even weirder is the Joe Biden memes. These aren't new.
No.
It's just now popular because it's relevant.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they've always been around. Like, BuzzFeed, like, a year ago had, like, the top 10 Joe Biden recaptions. They didn't call them memes at that point.
It was originally like creepy Joe Biden where
he
was behind
Uncle
somebody
Joe
like
Biden.
Sniffing them. It's like, that's weird, but all right, we're going to capitalize on this.
Well, the one I saw was the best Joe Biden moments, and it was like him running down the White House with the rainbow flag cape and like him making friendship bracelets for him and Barack Obama. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, this is wonderful.
Yeah, like, this is what the country needs.
Yeah, you know. So I'm really excited for this documentary. Rooster Teeth has been, like, nailing it with the, like, the ASMR documentary, the connected one.
The world's best head massage.
World's greatest head massage, sorry.
Because, like, whole ASMR culture for me, for the longest time, I didn't understand it. And then I started doing ASMR. So it's really cool learning, like, the scientific connection behind all of that.
I've tried doing it. I don't know if I have the triggers or not, though.
It's, like, specific things.
Yeah, I haven't yet
and they're a lot better
mine.
With, like, noise-canceling headphones. Like, to get the full experience, you need to block out
all
those.
I should definitely try that.
And on that note, we're going to take a break and warm up.
Because my ass is numb.
And when we come back.
When we come back.
Some more weeb talk.
Some more animu stuff.
Yeah, we're having a dedicated what are you watching section now.
Otaku section. O-T-A-L-K-U.
The dark weeb rises.
I don't know. I'm not still super big into anime, but I just finished one, so I'm really excited to talk about it.
And I wouldn't say I'm a weeb, but
Let's go warm up.
And break.
This episode of the Z2 Podcast would like to promote Hollow Justice Comics and Collectibles located in Parker, Colorado. For more information, you can visit their Facebook at Hollow Justice Comics and Collectibles or Twitter at HOJ Comics. Their store has many amazing things ranging from comics, pop figures, collectibles, action figures, and much more. For more information, you can follow those two links and have a wonderful day.
And we're back in the cold.
Back north of the wall, past the Night's Watch.
North remembers.
Star Trek reference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Ooh, Jon Snow.
Well, I was at a teacher training, and someone was like Jon Snow, I know nothing about this topic. I'm like, God.
I probably would have.
We're supposed to be professionals.
I probably would have ran up to them and high-fived them.
Well, we just talked about how memes are just, they describe so much in so little.
That is true. And the last time we recorded live here, we talked about a penis dressed up as Batman. So, I mean.
Bat dick ho.
Bat dick strikes again.
It exists. It is a thing.
Tim's probably listening to this right now. I was like, yes!
Bat-dick!
Fuck yeah.
He messages me every time he listens to a new episode. Now he's like, yeah, dude, I heard your anime talk. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not that really big into anime anymore. He's like, well, you should probably watch these things. I'm like, all right, sounds good. And I'm like, this is like the three things he mentioned. I'm like, ooh, I watched Gundam 08th Team. I'm going to watch that again.
It's just as cool.
Nothing new.
As Kite Man.
Dude, Hell Kite Man is the best. Can't wait. That's actually Tom King's new series. It's the Kite Man solo
Man
book.
Solo series.
The origin story of Kite Man.
Hell yeah.
His rise to herodom.
His Pokemon references.
Yep.
Kite Man is a Pokemon. I don't care what you guys think.
Yep.
All right.
I'm going to wait for you to catch one in Sun and Moon and call it Kite Man.
So we're starting a new segment that tentatively just, what are you watching? But today we all three of us just picked anime.
Because we're kind of on the anime train right now.
Yeah.
Dude, fan service has gotten me back into anime. I've renewed my Crunchyroll subscription now. I'm now a premium member again.
I'm going to ask for your comment.
I know you are.
There's a lot of good series.
But you got till February until Digimon comes out.
Yeah, so I'm just
Or January.
Wait. Maybe it'll get leaked again.
Maybe.
Like a month early.
And then you'll break my hopes and dreams again.
Gabumon.
I didn't want to believe you.
All right, so Zach, you got a thing you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I mentioned it last week.
It got colder.
I started watching. I was going to start watching Gangsta, and I finished it this week because it was only 12 episodes. And I'm really freaking disappointed by it because the studio that Mangrove that was making it went bankrupt, so they never even finished the first story arc.
Yeah.
It just straight up ends.
You're telling me about it, and I decided to look up the studio. And I'm like, oh, they made Samurai Champloo. I'm like, oh, that's a gorgeous animation.
This is like their last project, but they didn't even finish it.
Yeah,
fully.
So when you said that, I'm like, maybe I'll watch Gangsta now.
No, in my quickie review of it is just, I cannot reasonably say go watch this because it's unfinished.
But what about the manga?
The manga's still going on. I mean, if you really just want to jump from that to that, but personally, I wouldn't want to do that.
Okay.
I mean, it was cool, and like by the time it ended, there was some really cool backstory on all these things that we're starting to learn about this world that's going on.
Steve has turned into Rowlet's final form.
Yeah. Got cold.
What sucks is I was interested in the world. Like, I was really invested by episode 11. I was like, oh, this is really cool. Now we're starting to learn about, like, what makes each of these characters tick, and we're starting to see their motivations. We still never got to see the motivations of this villain group other than, oh, maybe they're upset at some people? Maybe.
What villain's not upset?
But we didn't even really see the villain until, or, like, the main villain group until, like, episode 10. So, yeah. The villain was kind of, like, they teased it at the very beginning, like, episode 2, with just, like, shadowy figures, and then didn't mention them for, like, 7 episodes, and then it came back in, like, episode 8 or 9. But, yeah. just kind of some of my notes. I would have enjoyed it more if we had more than 12 episodes to go on. If it was a 26-episode series, I could see this being really cool and having a lot of good backstory. It was very character-driven. And the fact that we didn't really get to see much of that, like, at all, was really disappointing. I did mention that the whole sign language thing, since one of the main characters was deaf, was really well done.
Right.
Like, because the character, they even explain, like, how the deaf character could speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because his, like, master, or the person he's contracted to, Warwick, gave him books to learn how to read and write.
Right.
So he wasn't, like, dependent on him. And he can read lips, so he could understand what was going on. So sometimes he would speak, sometimes he would just sign a response.
Okay.
Other people would sometimes translate for him. It was a really cool thing that I haven't seen in an anime before. I really like that part. That was how it was done.
Right, and that was part of your recommendation for, like, this non-stereotypical anime, wasn't it?
No, that was... No.
Here's the Black Lagoon.
That was Black
okay,
Lagoon.
Yeah, Black Lagoon, that's right.
One thing that I found really, really weird, and, like, I will say, one of the main female character, Alex, she's very cheesecakely drawn. She's very well endowed. What are you doing?
You're fucking insane.
Maybe
she
if I just make
very,
all of me cold.
To put it lightly, she's
anymore.
Very well endowed, but they didn't really do any much. They didn't do any fan service for a majority of the series. And then episode 8 comes along, and they have these really awkward instances of fan service involving
her. Was it the greatest, like the famous bathhouse episode?
No, it wasn't that, but
that
was
almost
it the
every
beach
anime
episode?
Does with someone
no,
who's
it wasn't, it wasn't
well
a bathhouse
endowed.
Or beach episode. It was just really weird, and it just felt so out of place.
There's always one episode, man.
It just it
There's
seemed like
the
show was
episode.
Better than that. I was like, oh, they haven't done like anything with that. I was like, okay, I mean, it didn't need
you,
to be done
you
either.
Mean it's not like High School of the Dead with the boob dodging bullets?
Was that High School of the Dead?
That was High School
I've
of the
I've been trying
Dead.
To figure out what anime that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, no, it's High School of the Dead where she does a backflip
just,
and her boobs just kind of start karate chopping the air while a bullet flies through them.
It was just, it did not fit the tone that the show was going for at that time. It just seemed like...
Maybe they were trying not to get canceled.
I don't know what the whole
Let's bring
was.
Up our viewerships with fan service.
It just didn't make sense to me at all.
That's fair.
It just kind of like, I guess my final overview is, while I really enjoyed parts of it and the world building was pretty interesting, I really liked some of the backstory that they started to go into for the characters. The whole time I felt that the whole question was, where is the show going? What is the point? Like, why should I care about these characters? And I did not get to see enough of that.
So only at 12 episodes, you said? Or
yeah,
26?
It's only 12.
Okay.
I said if it had 26 episodes and completed its main story, I felt like it would have been really good.
That's fair.
And that's why I can't reasonably say you should go watch this, because it's an unfinished story and leaves a lot to be desired.
Alrighty.
The animation is really good. I really enjoyed it. We got, like, stuff going on while I'm trying to explain this.
It's pretty funny.
One of the things I did like is fight scenes are really clean.
Uh-huh.
Like, when characters are just jumping around, like, swinging swords at each other, it's really well done.
So, like, on a scale of Battle of the Tower to Yoda spinning around parkour against Dooku, where would you place it?
Somewhere near Battle of the Tower.
Okay.
Why did he need the cane?
It was a ploy.
He could have just walked around like normal. Everyone knew he was a badass. Why did he need the cane?
The animations reminded me a lot of Attack on Titan, because they do this thing where they, like, outline the characters in dark.
Yeah.
Which I really like that. It like, makes
kind of
the characters
a cel-shaded feel to it.
Yeah, and Samurai Champloo had the same thing, too, back in 2005.
It makes it look a little bit more clean for each character.
Yeah.
Like, their eyes are super detailed. They were really focused in on the eyes and facial expressions.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, though.
And it was a Funimation show that did the dub, too. And the dub was really good. The whole time I thought it was a bunch of, like, A-list Funimation people, but it really wasn't. It was a bunch of B and C-list people, to be honest. Like, people who didn't really do anything other than supporting characters in other Funimation series. And they do have the rights to it, so maybe they'll find a studio to try and finish it.
But it won't be anime anymore.
Funimation?
No, I mean, like, remember our whole thing, like, studios getting support from outside sources, and then it's not classified as anime.
It'll be considered anime.
Freaking anime, man.
Oh, one
That's
day,
my next thing.
Caitlin Glass was the voice actress for Winry.
Okay.
Wasn't it?
That's
she
cool.
played a small role. She wasn't a big character. There's also some other character or voice actress from other shows that I recognize. I can't remember their names off the top of my head, but yeah, if it had a completed series, I probably would have rated it more high, but I would say you could, until they finish it or find someone to finish it, don't bother with it.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right, my go now. So I've been watching Drifters. It's a fantastic series.
Hitler.
Yeah, Hitler's in it.
Hitler is.
We'll get to Hitler eventually, but we gotta build the world here first.
You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. We will get to Hitler. Don't worry.
So the series is essentially about warriors who, at their time of death, get transported to this magical, essentially a hallway.
Isn't the main character Nobunaga?
One of the side main characters, I'd say. He's not, like, the main focus of the series. That is, I think it's Toyohisa, something like that. A Japanese swordsman who helped his uncle's empire grow. But at their time of death, they go to this hallway where they get transported to a different world, which has been referred to by some people as not Middle-earth.
Yeah,
because
there's, like, elves everywhere.
There's elves, there's dwarves, they even mention hobbits.
They do mention hobbits?
In, like, the second episode, they're going over, like, all these races that humans hate and they're going to kill. And they're like, the elves, the dwarves, and even the hobbits will all die out. And I'm like, this is Middle-earth. This is
straight-up
Middle-earth.
Usually people just say halflings.
Yeah, they said hobbits, straight-up hobbits.
Shit.
Or at least in the subtitles they said hobbits. It probably was halflings, but Crunchyroll decided to put it
in. So you
hobbits.
Are watching in sub and not dub?
Yes, because
there's
the
no
dub just
yet.
Started, and the dub is only episode 2. And the sub is on episode 7 now.
That's really cool.
But it is really good just because the characters, for one, there's, you know, Oda Nobunaga. Goddamn name's hard to pronounce. It's Hannibal Barca. There's
Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc. There's Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid. There's all of these great characters that they do so well with. And, like, there's two factions, the Drifters, which are you know, the normal heroes who've been brought over, and then there's the ends, which are like people who have been killed in terrible ways, i.e. Joan of Arc being burned at the stake, and pretty much people who've been treated like shit in humanity.
So like people that have been wronged by history and everything else. So and is Hitler part of the ends?
Hitler is part of...
I just want to know about
Hitler. Okay, so there
I'm really interested in this.
Besides the drifters at the ends, there's a main empire called the Orte Empire that is all humans, and they hate every other race that isn't human. So
Hitler.
They hate the elves, they hate the dwarves. And the person, and it turns out, you know, the place was founded 50 years ago, and the person who founded the empire was 99.9% sure it's Hitler.
This sounds vaguely like Reborn, by the way.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like he founded this empire and then subjugated every other what they call demi-human race.
Don't they refer to themselves as the Fatherland?
He is referred to as the Father.
Oh my God!
Oh, and just like in Fullmetal Alchemist, the expiate of Hitler.
And the only reason I'm 99.9% sure is because they have it straight out said it's Hitler. But like they show this painting of him, and they're scrolling
does
up.
Does it have a dog?
And as they get to the face, it just stops right at the nose, and you see a Hitler stash. And I'm like, okay, Father, it's Hitler. But
that reminds me of like Dragon Ball GT, where like Hitler comes back from the grave and invades the towns.
Pretty much, but like they do a fantastic job of introducing all of these characters, and then they have, you know, the ends where they've given up their humanity because they hate it so much, and then they get powers because of through the ends. Like Joan of Arc has fire powers now.
That's
like,
pretty metal.
She's riding into battle. She's like pissed off, and then all of a sudden,
is she Ghost Rider?
Sorry. But, well, pretty much, yeah, because she's riding in on a horse with her spear. And all of a sudden, like, blue flames come over one of her eyes. And I'm like, what is happening? This is awesome.
What's kind of interesting is the sound, what reminds me of this is Fate Zero, where it's all these historical figures fighting. But they're all very just and, like, very fitting to their personality. This is a really cool take on that.
And it's, like, the
it's
ends
like,
are...
Yeah, you would be pissed if you were burned
Joan of
the
Arc,
stake.
They have Anastasia... Romanov.
Anastasia.
Who has ice powers now.
Nice.
And then you have Rasputin, who can take people's souls through a talisman.
He can do that already. That's not new for him.
Well, they haven't fully introduced Rasputin's powers yet.
God, I need to watch the show now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this and sounds really cool.
What's great is it's not just like, here are these characters, we gave half of them powers based on where they're from and how they died. But they also do research. Like, one, they have Nobunaga leading an army of elves in a battle against these human knights who are coming to destroy their village. And, you know, it seems like they're all gone. All the elves are gone from the village. And they go to the well. It's like, what? Like, they go to the well. It's like, something doesn't smell right. And they threw shit in the well to get rid of
the
water source. And after a while, you know, the army is just sitting there. They go through their water rations, and the elves and Obunaga attack. And they start shooting them with arrows. And it, you know, they show him, like, dipping it into more sewage and shooting him in. It's like, all we need to do is graze them. Guy gets here, and they're like, there's shit on these arrows. And the captain's like, wash it off. We have no water. And it turns out that was an actual strategy that Nobunaga used to take down a village against him, was poison the water source and then started shooting them with sewage-covered arrows so they would either die of infection or they had to retreat. And that's all he needed. And then...
Nobunaga is pretty messed up in history.
Well, and they even go into
Pokemon Conquest.
Yeah,
this is Rayquaza, man.
Yeah, God. And like it even goes into like, they make it a comedic thing, but they're like, how many times have you been betrayed? And he's like, well, there was my cousin, my other cousin, there was this other village.
My uncle.
And it's like he actually got betrayed by all of these people. And then
I have a quick question. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but how does this fall into like timeline, because you have established people like Hitler and Joan of Arc and everything, but isn't the main character a samurai? Like, he got whisked away into the world.
It seems like time does not matter.
It's grabbing people from all over the place. Like,
okay.
The next thing I was going to talk about was, like, it's a little tiny thing that without the prior knowledge or further research, it would mean nothing. But there are these, what they call the Griffin Squadron, these pirates that fly around on griffins taking down the Empire's
people. The Grey Wardens.
People.
Yes.
And after they launch a surprise attack, one of the guys flying away, and he's yelling, Torah, Torah, Torah. And it's like, all right, that's interesting. And it turns out that was a phrase used by Japanese fighter pilots in World War II. Yeah, where they would launch a surprise attack, yelling, Torah, Torah, Torah. And as a flyer, it's like, yeah, our general taught us that. It's like, that's what you yell after a surprise attack. Turns out, It was an actual naval general who helped launch the strike on Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
On a Japanese warship. So it's like they're grabbing people from all over the
place.
That's
pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's like little things that without the further research you wouldn't know, but they did the research into that. And again, Hitler.
I was really invested in Hitler because everyone's been talking about it. It's like, holy crap,
Hitler.
On the ends, the ends team with Joan of Arc, there may or may not be Jesus Christ. There is like this super big buff guy who doesn't talk, hasn't said anything, hasn't been mentioned. I don't think it's Jesus.
Does he have nails and a hammer? His power. He just strikes people.
But I think it's someone who fought with Joan of Arc because he's always by her side. But then people are like,
but that's like a Christianity that's Joan of Arc.
Like, is that Jesus? But I think his name's like Gil de Rais. Was Joan of Arc's like right hand man for a little bit.
But that sounds really cool.
It is amazing. And
I need to watch
again,
this.
Again, the historical research just adds it. As someone who loves history, it just adds to it. Like, they took actual strategies from their lives and implemented
it's
them.
It's straight up like, what would happen if we put these historical figures at the same time period?
Oh, God.
And had them fight.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Now, be prepared if you're going to watch this show. It is brutal. It is absolutely brutal. Like, people get sliced in half on the regular.
We're messing with the heat fan because it's, like, 40 degrees.
It's just trying to warn you, apparently.
Sorrow's trying to be nice and share the heat lamp with us.
But
man.
The show gets absolutely brutal. Like, people get cut in half and there'll be blood spraying everywhere. More blood than should be in the human body.
That sounds really interesting. Does John have one of those in his shop? Just a nice Captain America shield we could just
attach it to? Wow.
That's fair. Our Red Team Go friend says he doesn't want to give GameStop money. He found a really nice, high-quality Captain American shield. Dude, I am so sorry. I forgot your name, though. I see you here all the time, though. Gareth. All right, we got Gareth from Red Team Go, right? And then we're going to have him. Yeah, we have Sorrow, too. We already talked to Sorrow. He's old news now.
We got Sorrow's just drawing. We got his story. We're done with him.
Yeah. But
we'll have our people call your people.
Yeah. Maybe get some new stories and we'll
Sorrow
we'll
didn't
talk,
want my Jolly Ranchers when we first came. We'll have Sorrow jump back on. He can tell us all about the weird stuff he's drawing now. Okay. But yeah, dude, Drifter sounds really cool. I might actually jump on that.
I think I'm going to start
watching. I would say go ahead and watch it sub. The dub is out there, but again, only to episode 2.
Then I'm only watching 2 episodes.
You don't get the meat and potatoes until episode 3 on.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so is it my turn?
It's your turn. Go
what
for
are you
it.
Watching?
So, when we last talked last week about me watching Kids on the Slope, I was like 7 episodes in the sub. 7 out of 12 episodes. I found out there was a dub and restarted the entire thing.
As you do.
Yeah, as I do. That's my thing. But this was a show I was really invested in, so I wanted to make sure I was paying attention. So I restarted the entire thing, started watching the dub, and it's a 12-episode series, and everyone told me, this is jazz anime. It's not really jazz anime. Like, there's a lot of jazz in it. But it's not necessarily focused on the jazz. So the music director for Cowboy Bebop did everything. But at the same time, her band had the whole... her band came in and they recorded versions of Monin by Art Blakey, which is like the theme of the entire series. And then they had 4 by Miles Davis and they had Brett Evington, I think. I can't remember off the top of my head. But all these really awesome Harlem jazz artists. And so the series takes place in 1977, I found out, because I started reading the manga shortly after. And in 1977, jazz was like the kind of not the cool thing. It was like an underground thing in Japan during that time, especially Harlem jazz. And to the point where there's an episode where they play a gig at a bar and this drunken sailor comes out and he says, I don't want to listen to that coon music. And I'm like, holy hell. They said that in the series.
Yeah,
and
they say it. The Japanese.
They say it in the
Japanese.
Yeah, no. They say it. They did not change that voice actor.
Oh, wow.
Because in the Japanese version, it was the same dude who says that, and he still says that coon jazz music. We play some white stuff. And he's speaking English the entire time. So that was actually kind of cool. It's like an immersive experience for the jazz.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, we got the heat lamp!
A true hero. We deserve.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Some heroes wear a hoodie. The man known only as the Hood.
And from that day, we never saw him again. Where he came from, no one knows.
He just had a beard and a hood. It's like Oliver Queen up in here. Yeah. So, yeah, Kids on the Slope was really cool. And I was more expecting it to be about, the whole underground jazz movement. But it's very much slice of life, romantic subplots. Sentaro likes this one girl, but this one girl likes Brother June. And Brother June is like, no, I don't like her. I'm a college dude, and I don't want romance. And then at the same time...
Priest?
No, Brother June's just his nickname.
Oh, okay.
I'll talk about the priest. So Brother June...
Was it Brother June?
It's like Brother June. But he's Japanese white dude. Or Japanese Asian dude. Sorry. Just the skin tone. But at the same time, Kaoru, a.k.a. Richie, has a thing for Rinko. And Rinko has a thing for Sentaro. And Sentaro is into the girl who's into Brother June. So
are
it's
you
like
sure
a
you're
lot
talking about your Lion April here?
It's vaguely similar, actually. But... So it's a 12-episode series, and one of the best things about it was that they did spend portions of the show playing the jazz music. But if it were Your Lie in April, which had 26 episodes, they had entire episodes dedicated just to the music performance. That wasn't this show. I still love Kids on the Slope. I love the fact that Brother June's last appearance was him and Sentaro dueling to Miles Davis's four, and Brother June's jamming on the trumpet, and Sentaro's just going crazy on the drums, and it's all wonderful stuff. And like I said, it's a slice of life thing about these kids growing up and how life is like jazz itself, where it's very unpredictable. You never know
sometimes
what's going to happen.
Sometimes you just got to improv, man.
Sometimes you just got to improv. And the last episode jumps to everyone's adult life. So Kaoru, a.k.a. Richie, goes off to college, and his love is never fully requited. And he goes off, and he becomes a doctor because that's what his family wants to be. And so he's a doctor doing things, and he meets the girl that ran off with Brother Jun, and she's like, oh, have you heard from Sentaro at all? Here, look at this picture that I have. And it's a picture of Sentaro after he, ran away and disappeared because his abusive foster father came back. And I'm trying to, rotate right now to figure out where the heat lamp is. Because I can kind of feel it on one leg. But they go in, and Sentaro becomes a priest. And... they play Monin one last time, and the head priest comes back. He's like, what did I tell you about playing on the piano? And they run away down a slope. So that's, yeah, that was the entire thing. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a church on the slope. I think I've seen that man there. And I'm like, oh, that's why it's called Kids on the Slope.
So what you're telling me is it ended with them getting off the slope.
Yeah, the slope of life. And Rinko's there at the end, too, during the credits. But so I finished it. I'm like, wow, that was really satisfying, but it feels unfinished. So I did some research. The manga is actually 50 chapters. 50 chapters condensed into a 12-episode series. So I started reading the manga and finished that. And the manga has a much more satisfying ending where, Sentaro does become a priest, and Rinko and Richie do get married and have their own children. And, aww. It's the whole style of life and jazz and everything. So I would really recommend this series to people. I super enjoyed it. And part of it's because I love jazz. Part of it's just it's a really freaking bomb-ass series. So definitely go check it out.
Swiggity.
All right. Let's hit up recommendations quick and then start stealing people.
Yeah.
Okay. So this week, I would like to recommend Trinity.
You have to read Trinity, this week.
So Trinity, written by Francis Manipal with art done by Clay Mann this week. And holy hell, the book is still gorgeous. Clay Mann, it really captures that Jim Lee style of drawing. And so this story is Bruce's flashback, whereas, Superman has this flashback in episode 2. They're being controlled by the White Mercy, which is something that Poison Ivy has created. So they're in like this really dreamlike situation, and we get to see the Waynes die.
We've never seen that before, ever.
As soon as they died, I was like, oh, I can add that to the vitamin C montage. And so they die, and then Bruce has to, like, reconcile with the fact that, you know, he's watching his parents die yet again, but he has to inspire this dream hallucination version of Bruce to do the right thing. And it's really cool and interesting because Bruce is, like, the first person to figure out, oh, shit, this is a dream, because he's like, this isn't Gotham City. I know Gotham City because after my parents' death, I spent every hour of my day in this alley. So it's a whole thing. We're going to get to you in a second, I promise. All right, Zach, quick. Thank you, Matt.
Crap. What was I going to... What did I pick this week? I'll go with Reborn. Pretty cool.
Mark Miller and Greg Capullo.
Yeah, again, I was telling Zach during the break that it just feels so weird because I'm so associated with Capullo's art with Snyder's voice, and that is not what this is. But it's still a pretty cool story. Like, I'm really... Like, I love the way that death is portrayed in this series. It's like all the characters get another life after they die, and it seems it's still not clear if they die again and they're just that's it. But it's been pretty cool. Like, the main character Bonnie gets to meet her friend who died before her,
who was super hardcore religious.
Yeah, like, she was so convinced that there was an afterlife, and she's like, she's the queen of the fairies, and she just doesn't want to she doesn't want anything with it, because everything she knew, like, was told is a lie. So it was
bullshit.
Yeah, it's just this really interesting concept of, like, what is death?
This wedding is bullshit.
But yeah, Reborn's been really cool. Really enjoying it. Yeah.
Also, check out Nightwing, issue 10, I think it was this week, or issue 9.
I think it's 9.
Yeah, issue 9, Nightwing meets Superman, and they hang out, and Superman's all talking about, like, his Dick Grayson from Prime Earth and how Dick Grayson is the only thing that remains constant no matter what universe you go to. So it was a really cool moment. It's a really cool bromance.
And he's going back to Bloodhaven.
Freaking Kids on Slope is the ultimate bromance ever. Centauro and Richie, man. They're so great. Alrighty.
Go, Steve.
I transferred my recommendation to Zach because I haven't read anything this week.
Alright, he recommends Nightwing. Alright, yeah. So
we're going to grab some people.
We're going to start grabbing people. Starting with Mr. Matt Renwick, who's talking to the ties right now, so you probably can't hear me. Hey, Matt.
Wow, he really cannot hear us.
He's busy. He's talking to people. Let's just, like, keep staring. Ryan's noticed. Ryan, that is rude. How dare you? I bite my thumb at you, sir.
We are a family-oriented podcast here.
Yeah.
What?
Fuck Ant-Man. Do you actually listen to us? I'm always curious about who does.
Yeah, I listen to you guys on TOTLB. I haven't had a chance to listen to you yet, but you're in my subscribe list.
Woo! So yeah. Well, you're going to be on the show now, so come on over.
You'll hear yourself eventually.
I don't listen to anything.
I don't listen after
you get over it after
like,
what?
That's not
you
me.
Get over it after 30
You're
episodes.
You're the one that edits the show, though.
So you have to listen to your...
You just got to get over it at some point.
So, Matt, do you want to hop on? Oh, no, he's talking to someone else now.
We lost him. We were so close to having him.
All right.
Okay, who's... Okay.
Okay. So, Matt Renwick is super awesome. He started the Colorado Comic Book Enthusiast, the CCBE, that we're all a part of and hang out at. So,
I did.
You want to talk about anything in particular? Like, maybe how you got into comics, what you do now, what you read now?
Sure.
That jazz?
So, I mean, I got into comics at an early age. I had an older cousin who was a big influence for me. I'm sure a lot of people have uncles or brothers or family members or someone. A lot of people.
Mine was him.
Was it him?
Yeah.
Mine was both of them.
Both of them. They pulled you in. So for me, at an early age, he had boxes of them in his room, and I would go in there and leaf through them and just kind of check them out. The first comic that I can vividly remember reading was Dark Knight Returns.
Okay.
I remember, like, really kind of... And I was too young to get all of it to really understand the themes and kind of what...
How dark it actually
you're
is.
You're sitting there like, oh, sweet Batman.
Yeah, he's kicking ass. He's fighting these people. And
oh, man, he's fighting Superman.
He's gonna fight Superman. And I think that, oddly enough, that kind of informed... That stuck with me, so I've read maybe four or five Superman stories. I think I've read All-Star, Red Sun.
Right.
But I've not read a lot of Superman, and I think because of that book, I've just had an affinity towards the darker end of the genre in general. But after that, I Ghost Rider and some other stuff. And then I remember years later reading Watchmen.
Right.
And my whole concept of what a comic book could be and what it could talk about and the themes that it could deal with was changed from then moving forward. And I think that it was a slow... I kind of had a slow descent away from superheroes from that point on. And it's just been kind of a... I'll drop, you know, Spider-Man after I was reading him for a while, and then I'll drop, you know, I don't know, X-Men or something like that. And the only two superheroes that I've held on to with any consistency are Batman and Swamp Thing. And I don't even know if you'd consider Swamp Thing a superhero.
Right.
Yeah,
that's my thing, that I know about you, is that you tend to not focus too much on, like, the big two other than Swamp Thing. And anytime I want to hear something, or anytime you comment on someone's Facebook post, you're recommending all these Image titles that are really awesome. So what was your stumble upon there?
Like, so for me, it was Vertigo. So I mean, it was... Preacher was where, like, the sensibility of... And I know Vertigo isn't necessarily independent because DC still retains rights of those characters to some degree, but... The independent ethic is still, I think, because they let them kind of do what they want.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't,
like, look at Queen Room by Gail Simone. Like, DC would never publish that themselves.
You couldn't put that in a regular continuity. So they allow the creators to do what they want. And Preacher was the first one that kind of opened that door for me. And then I read Sandman, and then I read Hellblazer, and that's... After I'd read those titles, I was like, this is what I want to read.
Okay.
This is... I want to find stuff like this. And so I followed Vertigo pretty hardcore, you know, with Why the Last Man, Scalp, DMZ, you know, into Fables, and pursued that pretty regularly until Image kind of popped up onto the scene.
Right.
And then there's so much that they do regularly that it's kind of... It fulfills every story desire that I have.
Mm-hmm. Have you dug into much Aftershock yet?
I have not.
They've had some amazing books so far. Like, I'm on the Animosity hype train for them. That is just such a great, dark comedy.
You're the sixth person
book.
This week who's told me about Animosity.
It's just such a great concept, and I just love the way it's being done so far.
They're on my radar as something that I need to pick up. I think I just picked up The Meta Barons, the Jordawoski. He did The Incall with Mobius, mm-hmm. kind of back in the early 90s, and then the Meta Barons were a character in The Incall, and then it's kind of a pull off of that. So just great, kind of great sci-fi.
Okay.
I just picked that up. I'm really, really, really loving Black Hammer, Black Monday Murders.
Black Monday Murders is so great.
You just, like, yeah, the Image stuff right now, like, I was telling Zach, I'm like, you need to read Kill or Be Killed.
I haven't read that one yet.
Oh, it's... Very like Brubaker, you know, it's the crime
noir,
story,
dark,
crime noir,
okay.
about this guy whose life was, he was granted new life because he jumped off a roof, but a demon like saved him and says, you need to kill for me now, you need to kill one person every month in order to stay alive. And this dude's like, oh no, that's bullshit, I'm hallucinating, and then he starts getting really sick towards the end of the month, and then he kills a man, next day he's perfectly fine, it's like, oh shit.
That sounds fucking sweet. That sounds right up my alley.
It's only four issues right now.
Okay.
And that's
the
first
arc. Is it a
mini
or is it going to be a continuous?
I'm not sure. Like I said, the fourth issue just wrapped up, and Brubaker and his author notes is like, that wraps up our first arc. We're really excited to keep telling this story.
Okay.
Because the start of the story was like, you know, society's bullshit. How do we let these politicians, these murderers and everything get away for money laundering and whatnot? And this dude's like just tearing through people with a shotgun. Dude. I'm like... What the hell? Because my last thing I read by Brubaker was like Captain America.
Right, right.
And I'm reading this now. I'm like, what is going on? This is awesome.
See, I've got the fade out, but I haven't read it yet. So like, I think of, when I think of like crime noir, I typically, my found, at least the point of reference for me is like 100 Bullets. You know, that's, I think a lot mm-hmm. of people have read or are at least familiar with the concept of 100 Bullets. So I always kind of harken back to that. Although I know that Brubaker has kind of, he's kind of become the captain of
yeah.
crime and noir
yeah.
in more modern, like in the recent past few years.
Yeah, his stuff, like Killer Be Killed got me onto the train of reading everything by him. But like Killer Be Killed would definitely be something up your alley.
I'll add that. I think that the closest to superheroes that I get right now is probably Black Hammer. Because it's got a superhero.
Is that Jeff Lemire's
feeling?
Thing?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Ormstead. Ormstead's doing the art and Lemire's doing the writing. And it's coming off of Dark Horse. I think it's on issue 5 or 6 right now. But it's very much it's very much a
Ryan just walked by with his DS. He's upset.
What happened, buddy? Did you lose a Pokemon? Oh.
Did you use an Ultra Ball? Rookie mistake.
I've heard if you go burn like a $100 comic book in effigy, it wipes away any kind of bullshit you're having with the game. So just go burn one of those. Yeah, just grab one of those off the wall and burn it.
John won't mind.
He won't care.
Kind of the something you mentioned earlier with how you're kind of leaning away from superheroes. I still read a lot of DC. Like that's probably still the most on my list. But Image is like tied right there. Because, like you said, I love what people can do with this medium. And at the same time, there are certain superheroes that I still get the enjoyment out
right.
of just from kind of turn my brain off every now and again. Right. But they always have that like little semblance of showing like, no, there's more meaning to just them beating the bad guys every now and again.
And I think that I the importance of superheroes, I'm not trying to, you know,
discredit
in any way, because I understand the hope of people rising to the occasion, being better than we are, and providing hope and providing that hero, that kind of that image that you can look towards to signify what you would like to see better in yourself or
right.
in the world.
Right.
I understand the value and the importance of that. I guess I've just become cynical, and I get to exercise the darker aspects of my own mind when I read those stories,
yeah.
and I get a little bit of a charge, and you know, everybody has dark impulses.
Yeah,
there's very few people who are chaste and just in everything in every way mm-hmm. that they think. So
I don't know about you. I'm like a school teacher,
right?
I keep
right.
the poor and the homeless.
Pure as this fine snow that's collected behind us.
Sure of that. Every time I finish Black Monday Murders, you know, I have to like immediately pray afterwards. I'm like, oh God, please forgive me.
That concept, the depth of that book.
Oh my God,
I have to read it like 2 or 3 times every time.
I'm a big history guy, so the fact that they connected like every single stock market crash to one of these murders,
it's ridiculous.
Like, oh my God, this is amazing world building.
I mean, I think. So it used to be people would say, like, Morrison is meta, right? Like, Morrison's meta. But, like,
Hickman knows how to build a world.
Hickman's going on
another
level.
He's picking
that
up.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's sad that it's only going to be 12 issues,
I know, but you think about how successful...
Well, it's 12 80-page issues.
True, right. So it's really, like, 36
yeah.
regular ones.
But his success from... So I never read any of his Fantastic Four stuff. So my introduction to him was East of West.
Oh, see, my introduction was his Avengers run leading up to Secret Wars.
Okay.
That's really what got me excited for Secret Wars, and then it was a big letdown.
That sucks. But can you lay that on him, or do you lay that on Marvel?
I don't know who to lay that really on, because everything I really thoroughly enjoyed everything
Secret
up to
Wars
that.
Works a lot better, reading in one sitting.
So the monthly just...
Yeah, because Secret Wars was supposed
that.
To wrap up in, like, 3 months, but it went on for... 8 months and just kind of sitting there, it's like, oh
so,
my
yeah,
god.
So when
finish
I heard
already.
That Hickman's doing another Image book, I was like, okay, I'll see. I liked what he did up to this point. Let's see if I still like him. And yes, I do still like Hickman's world building and the way he writes.
Yeah. Have you picked up East of West?
I have not.
It's the sci-fi occult.
Yeah, and it's Ooh. And it's the post. There's a post-apocalyptic, or not even post. There's an apocalyptic theme. The beasts of the apocalypse are on Earth,
okay.
working mm-hmm. towards. Accomplishing the apocalypse,
oh, okay.
and there's a
Pretty
set
dope.
There's a rift between famine, conquest, and war, and death, and so death
okay.
has gone off, and so famine, conquest, and war are now still trying to accomplish the apocalypse without death, and the characterizations, kind of the way he, the personalities that he gives to each, is phenomenal.
If you're liking Black Monday Murders, you need to read East of West. Yeah. And I think, isn't that supposed to be picked up in as a series soon?
Yep.
TV?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's pretty metal. Like Hickman. Like I said, reading Black Monday Murders, the Image books is where I go, where I want to think.
Yes.
Like, but, my DC superhero stories, I'm like, this is where I just want to get sheer enjoyment. But, like, I joke around, I post on CCBE, like, Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia has his board of red string going across. I'm like, Black Monday Murders makes me do this in my head. Dude. I'm, like, connecting, like, the... Here, let's make Snopes in order to... Or let's have a website where we prove urban legends wrong or not.
Right.
And then they're the ones controlling it. It's like, yeah, this is totally an urban legend,
it's
right?
It's going down.
And I'm like, God damn it, Hickman. This is so cool. And I'm glad it's still coming out as a monthly.
I am too. I'm too, and he's keeping on schedule. Like, everything's rolling along.
It's a first. It's I'm good. So happy.
Yeah. It's good. You know, I'm... So I think I've still got Detective... in my poll, because I'm really enjoying Detective. I think I dropped Batman, and I think I dropped All-Star.
Oh, man.
And I don't know... I think I had in my mind... And I shouldn't be doing this, and it's not fair of me to do, but I had in my mind that Batman and All-Star were going to pick up... Not pick up where the New 52 left off, but I was...
You were riding that high of Scott Snyder going in.
It did take me a little bit to get used to Tom King's Batman, just because I still love Tom King. I love the Omega Man Vision, the stuff I've read of him. So it's still definitely a transition.
Like I said about Hickman, you know, Tom King's one of those writers where his story arc works better in one sitting. Like right now, a lot of people are pissed at Batman with the whole Catwoman characterization, but I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, if this is anything like Omega Man or Sheriff of Babylon or Vision, there's going to be... a larger thing that he's going to whiplash back into.
It's kind of
like
how
Vision.
Nick Spencer writes, too. Yeah. Nick Spencer, if you read a full arc, you get the whole thing of how everything connects. Like, when everybody was lost their minds at the whole Captain America thing, but now that we're starting to get closer to the end of that arc, we're actually seeing how...
That was a field day for you as a moderator.
Oh, dude. Jesus Christ, man. It
that was one of the
nerd
days.
Rage. Yeah, like I didn't really buy into the idea of nerd rage. Like I was like, it's it's just
people get upset.
They're just mad. It's not a real thing. It's a real fucking thing.
It's absolutely
like it's a real thing.
Just go read creator's Twitter accounts.
Well, I just remember I mentioned something. I wrote spoiler and then hit enter 800 times. And then some dude went off on me because he probably clicked the read more and then read my one sentence. He's like, dude, I haven't even picked up my pool. I'm like, this was on the news this morning.
Dude, my Facebook, when that Captain America issue came out, my Facebook was full of people talking about, this is bullshit.
The pure fire.
Yeah, someone burning a book. Like, I didn't even read the fucking thing.
But now,
Do you read Spencer, by the way?
No.
Now that I've seen the full story, it's actually been really cool to see what he's been doing with it. I'm curious to see where it goes.
After that, I'm like, give it a month. Wait to see where this goes.
Right.
Like, you got one issue with one little cliffhanger, and you're gonna destroy the world because it's two issues later, it gets resolved a little bit.
Like we said at the beginning, Matt's one of our moderators and creator of our comic book Colorado comic book enthusiasts, and he does such a wonderful job, putting
so much stuff.
Fires away. Like at least once a month, he has to remind people, let's all play nice, please.
Stop picking fights with people.
We're nerds.
We're not all adults all of the time. We're adults most of the time. But there are those moments when any sense of decency fucking completely breaks down.
Well, it's funny because we lean towards the younger side. Like we're all in our 20s, and then there's people that have been reading comics their entire lives, and they're like, this is bullshit. Fucking don't call him Shazam. He is Captain Marvel and will always be Captain Marvel. I'm like, his name is Shazam right now. I'm using the appropriate name. I apologize.
Dude, the whole Riri thing,
that was another.
You can share your toys, guys. It'll be okay. It's not ruining what you've already read.
I get that you've been so. I was talking to someone who was really pissed off about the Riri thing on the side that people weren't accepting Riri. And I was like, you have people who have been eating vanilla ice cream out of the same bowl with the same spoon for 30 years. They don't want another flavor. They don't want a new spoon. They don't want a new bowl. They just want to keep eating that ice cream the exact same way they've been fucking eating it. And they could. And if the second that you suggest that chocolate is a possible option, they lose their fucking minds. So it's not
even full chocolate, but like chocolate chips.
Yeah, just a little, yeah, just a little
like
change
like
in taste.
That little swirl in there.
Yeah, they fucking freak out. It's not racism. It's not sexism. It's not any kind of negative ism, right? That's stereotyping a whole class of people. It's just narrow-minded comic fans.
I realize that, like the whole nostalgia thing of this is what was going on when I was a child, and now you're gonna change a little bit. It's like you get pissed off and like. I'll give it a shot. Like, Riri, I wasn't on board with it to begin with.
And how many people were mad about Dr. Doom being Iron Man?
Dr. Doom being Iron Man, I love right now.
That was pretty fucking metal, just saying. Yeah. This issue that just came out.
It's amazing how many things... How many things get...
Sorry, Iron Man metal. Oh, shit.
Get the negative, that, you know, get the shitstorm.
The whole narrow-minded thing is just... It bothers me so much, especially when people... They claim that this is ruining their childhood. Right. Like... Like, you still have all the stuff you just read. You read in your childhood.
It's like,
not touching
back
it.
To like 1980, whatever, when you started reading comics and destroying them.
Right.
They're
damaged my childhood as they're throwing
six,
their books into a fire.
Right. Clearly, your childhood's not over if it's still being ruined.
No.
Did Nick Spencer go back and rip up your Captain America comic from when you were a child? No. It's still there. You still have the memories.
It's CGC. It's a 9.8. Don't worry.
The culture has been, and the thing that I try to convey to people is that, you know, look, our culture has been. What was like this bastion of this bubble world of loners and generally socially inept people and people who didn't get a lot of play with the women. Like whatever stereotype, weird dude bro language bullshit you want to put.
With his long beard.
Yeah. There was this bubble that everybody felt insulated in. Well, that bubble's gone. It's a part of mainstream pop culture now. Whether there are dudes I will go work out. And there are dudes that are 250 pounds that I know have never read a comic in their life with a Superman shirt on. Cool. Right on.
Pretty prevalent for like the last
right.
15,
true. Or they're wearing a Green Lantern shirt.
Yeah.
Or the boom.
Look at my tank top.
Right. Right. Like, and it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. There's a good chance if you go out somewhere and you say, and you happen to have a lot of knowledge about Batman. You might be able to get laid with that. Like, that's a possibility. That's a real. It could happen.
Matt giving the real advice.
20 years ago, you would have gotten kicked in the face. It wouldn't have worked. When I was in high school, no. You didn't share that.
Well, man, you don't have a bunch of 11-year-olds making fun of you saying that you're a nerd. That's my daily life. I'm like, shut up, nerds. And they're like, who's talking? You have the comic book posters behind your desk. I'm like, shut up, nerd. You're 11.
Fight me.
I have told a student fight me once, and they said, square up. I'm like, God, you're so young.
You're a teacher?
Stop it. I'm a teacher.
Oh, so you're doing the thankless work. Doing the thankless work.
Well, that's what so when we did that co-episode with Thinking Outside the Long Box, Gabe was like, you're a teacher. You're a cross-country coach. What are you going to do next? Feed the homeless? I'm like, I'm actually doing that tomorrow. And he's like, why are you on my show? Get the fuck off. I'm like...
Get out of here.
Yeah, right. You are.
He's a precious cinnamon roll.
Well, it's like, you know, the whole teacher aspect of it, it's like showing people, you know, there's more to these things. Let's, you know, use our brains. Let's be better people. I said,
See, real quick. Keep this in your mind. Those little shitheads that are calling you a nerd are the same assholes that get on Call of Duty.
Yep.
And, I mean, just N-word, drown in a CH, you piece of shit. I fucked your mom in the ass, lad. Like, just, those are the kids that go on online
gaming.
The hate that spews from their mouths.
See, we're the 18-year-olds who did the same thing on Call of Duty.
Okay.
So.
But I've been also.
We were.
I've also been on the receiving end where I'll just be playing a game and I get a message from someone just like spouting hate at me. They're like, oh, you're awful.
Drink
go,
a bottle of bleach.
Dive.
I'm like, so I sent them
okay,
a picture
bro.
Of me or just my hand holding a thing of bleach.
Should I start now?
I'm like, I don't care. But no, in my class the other day, I said, we are the culmination of every single person we will ever meet and love. So we need to do justice to that and be the better person. And they're like, wow, that was really insightful. Who said that? Nightwing. And they're like, I don't understand why I bother with you anymore. I'm like, well, you see me every day, and I'm your teacher.
You should just expect this.
So you should expect this.
Right.
Well, it's fascinating how people like hate on comics. Like, they're for nerds. They tell no mess. Like, I've learned better message from comic books,
right,
than half people who live in this world right now.
See, I'm if you go to high school, then you can start sharing like Rorschach quotes with them in comedy, right? Then you can start telling them, "Oh, they'll ask me to save them, and I'll look down at them and say no." So you can impart the cynical part to them at some point in time in the future. Hopefully. Yeah.
Well, I taught a comic book class, and we read Yale Stewart's Jail 8.
Okay.
And they're like, "This is really adorable." I'm like, "Yeah, but let's look at all these cool positive themes that we don't even think about." And they're like, "Wow, this is really insightful." And in my head, I'm just like, "Fuck yes,
it's working!
I got it.
Soccer.
I'm sinking
the
hook.
I'm sinking the hook."
So one of the things that I do as a teacher, you know, I want to show my students these really cool things. So I've shown them like the really awesome, cool diversity of comic books. And I'm like, "Look, guys, Riri Williams, Black Iron Man, Miles Morales, Black Spider-Man, Kamala Khan." And they're like, "Whoa, I didn't even know comics were like this." And I'm like, "Yes. This is working." Because when I grew up, there weren't that many Asian superheroes. There still aren't.
Right.
So it's like, at this point, you know, I want to spread that diversity, spread that love of, like, these new things that you can come in. Like, Ms. Marvel, I have a copy in my classroom that my students will kind of, like, take a grab, read it, and they're like, do you have more?
Right.
Can I read this? I'm like, yeah, you know, Kamala's this awesome
Marvel
character.
Ms. Marvel is probably one of the most important comics right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that diversity in comics, like, you know... People, the old school is politicizes it and tries to, you know, suggest
it's the they're pushing this agenda,
right?
It's the USA Today announcement,
right? But the problem is that they still live in the time, and they will always be of the mindset that this is a closed culture that nobody is interested in being involved with, and they don't understand, like I said, that this is not a closed culture anymore. This is not something on the fringes. This is a part of the mainstream, and so the publishers, if they want to make money, they have to write comics that appeal to a wider and a diverser audience. They have to.
Yeah. And also, there's all those people that they feel underrepresented. And I see things like, "Oh, my little daughter loves this character that wasn't represented before." Like, that, people don't see it because you're not affected by it directly. But that stuff matters to people.
Absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely. And you can't, if you continue doing the same thing that you've done for 50 or 60 years, you're going to die. You're going to become completely irrelevant.
Oh, yeah.
And the one piece of credit that you have to give the big two is they've managed to change enough over the years. You know, they went through the Silver Age. They were affected by the comics code, so everything became really sterile, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they went into the 70s and the 80s. Things became darker, right? They went into the 90s, you know,
pockets everywhere.
Fucking, yeah,
guns.
Know, right, big muscles. So they've managed to shift with whatever the aesthetic is of that time. And that's to be successful and to be around for 60, 70 years, that's what you have to do. So, you know, this is part of the business.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those cool things because, you know, the whole Burnside thing came out, Batgirl Burnside.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't necessarily like it. They're like, "This isn't Barbara Gordon." But if you, like, remove yourself from that, like, look at it as its own story, I'm like, this is actually a pretty cool comic. Because I didn't like the Burnside team that much. Like, I enjoyed some of the stories, but it's not my favorite Barbara Gordon thing. But standalone title, I'm like, this is a really cool book for that, what you were saying. It's like, it captures the specific audience.
Yeah.
It's for, like, the hipsters. It's for the tech wizards.
It's like trying to establish, Barbara Gordon still is one of the most technologically smart people in this universe.
And that's been the foundation of that character for... how long?
Yeah,
you know, like, it's been a portal.
Oracle,
that
established that, like, in the forefold that she can fight
and
take
she
you
will
out
be
with
a senator
brain.
Again one day.
And the thing that I love about that is if that brings someone in, then that opens the possibility for me to eventually talk to them about Black Monday Murders, or Chew, or Saga, or what, you know, whatever the case may be, the stuff that I love. So if that opens the door, then the possibilities, then every book in that shop is a possibility for that person. Who the fuck knows?
So I'm now imagining you going up to, like, a little 8-year-old with, like, Black Monday Murders. It's like, "I heard you like Batgirl. You should read this." Like, "Matt, no.
Put it away."
So they DC Supergirls. So that'll be
DC Supergirls, that's another thing. Like, you know, it was supposed to be just like a toy line. And now
we're making this so we can sell toys. That's it.
Right.
And now it's the one movie. It's a comic series. And now it's going to be like an ongoing TV show. It's like, yeah, you know, girls can be superheroes too. Yeah. This is like the coolest thing.
Here's another thing I'm starting to notice a lot more. Like, maybe not so much of like the movie verse, but especially in the comics, it seems like they're big two especially are starting to look at fans are driving what they want to read. We're no longer giving them something. Right. The fans are coming to us. Like, look at Young Justice. It came back because right. the fans demanded it. They wanted it for so long.
3 years I've
for
waited.
3 years. They finally said that because of the fan outcry of wanting the show back, we're bringing it back.
And the push through cons. I mean, the publishers have made themselves available to the public.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How many, you know, whatever, 8, 9, 10 times a year, however many appearances they choose to make at a con or at some kind of event. So Twitter, I mean, the interaction and the voices that you get that tell you this is what we want, this is what we want to see, you'd have to respond to that. You'd be an idiot if you didn't respond to that.
Yeah, it's, you know, Omega Man got canceled after 6 issues. And then fans outcried, it's like, let Tom King finish. And DC let him. Right. Granted, Omega Man was the worst-selling book at DC at the time, but it's the freaking best story that they pumped out.
And then it became a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah. For the 5,000 people that read it on a month-to-month basis, we're like, yeah, this is great.
And I got to meet Tom King when I went to New York Comic Con, and he saw I had my Omega Man number one. He's like, oh, thank you so much for reading this book. Like,
hell
just
yeah.
that interaction was great.
Hell yeah.
Because they actually appreciate
it. I met Tim Seeley. Same deal.
I don't want to meet
you with me.
See, I had one bad experience. I met one creator. And it was so shitty. From that point forward, I've avoided it.
Mm. Yeah.
Who was it?
Neil Adams.
Okay. Was that last year?
Yeah.
That was last year.
Yeah. I got sucked into this vortex of ego and like insanity that was like he was shitting on Denny O'Neill. He was shitting on like you pick a name and he shit on that person.
That's awful.
And it was just like.
After you know, here's your contract. Here's Batman Odyssey.
Right.
Your whatever playground, that was terrible. Like, why did they let that happen?
Right. And I wasn't expecting him to be some bastion of comic love, but it was like, damn, this is not what I was. And I didn't even want to have a conversation. I just wanted to shake his hand.
It was one of the, yeah, just,
I like the shit that you did.
Definitely one of those, like, never meet your heroes things.
Yeah,
a sobering moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Not everyone's going to be what I expected.
No. Yeah, and when I went to. I got in line with Tom King. I was like, I don't know what to expect. I just hope he's nice. But he was one of the coolest and down-to-earth people I've met in the comics world.
Yeah.
Barrowman. When I saw Barrowman at DCC, that was the coolest panel I've ever seen in my life. Like,
that was Manu Bennett for us. Like,
was it Manu?
Yeah. This dude is huge, looks scary. And he opens up the con. It's like, guys, I need to lay some really bad news. And it was when the guy that played Chekhov.
Anton Yelchin.
Yeah, Anton Yelchin is like, we just have a moment of silence because this is hitting me hard.
Right.
And like the entire audience was like, whoa.
Right.
And
what
he
are we
was
in for?
Such a chill dude. Right.
Yeah, we had like Clark Gregg on the other side of the wall, and you hear them all laughing and screaming, and then on our side, everyone's just dead silent.
It's somber.
Talk. It's like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Well, he
was
starting telling these stories about his time on Spartacus, and like the guy who played Spartacus, he passed away, and when his son was always on the set. So when Manu ran into his son again, you know, he just hugged the kid
and
started crying. And then this girl next to me started crying. I'm like, no, don't do this. I'm going to cry too.
Look, you're
going
to find me a girl, okay? Just because I was crying.
It wasn't you, Steve.
At the end of the Barrowman panel, he did this. He sang a song, you know, about let me be who I am, let me be free. Like this beautiful song. And, I mean, I'm a heartless prick. But everybody around me was crying. And it touched me. I couldn't bring the tear out.
It cracked a part of the blackness of your heart.
Just a little bit.
It takes a lot for me to actually like cry.
Yeah, yeah. But it was still a beautiful. It was still an amazing thing that he, you know, he ended the panel that way because it was, you know, it was during the summer and there's some social issues obviously going on this past year and he was speaking directly to those. But it was a really beautiful moment to hear him, you know, talk and speak and share and sing. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
I'm sorry
really
that cool. You had a shitty time though with that one experience because I'm sitting there, you know, that's my whole con personality now. It's like I want to go meet these creators. Like I met with Tim Seeley when we went to Chicago. And he's a super cool dude. He's really down to earth.
Scott Snyder is the most humble.
I've heard that. I've heard Scott's awesome.
His Twitter is amazing too. But like
even though his book is one, still one of the probably the best selling Batman books ever.
Trina Robbins. When I met Trina, I talked to Trina. She was as sweet as pie. I mean, but it's Trina. Like, and it was weird because I walked by her a few times, and she was sitting at her table, and there was nobody there. And then I finally stopped. I was like, I didn't have any kind of books with me, but I was like, can I get a picture with you? Like, I know who you are. I've read some Wonder Woman. I think you're incredible. Mm-hmm. And we talked for probably, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And she was, you couldn't ask for a nicer person to talk to, you know? But so I've had some both good and bad experiences.
Right.
So I can't shit on the whole thing. But the people, so like Snyder, I don't know that I would ever want to meet Snyder. I would be really hesitant. Like Lin Wein, I don't know that I
honestly would recommend
Wein.
It. Like Scott seems like the kind of guy you'd want to see.
We were in
and
line for 3
with.
Hours. So we were kind of in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's that thing you always got to keep in mind is that people are people.
Yeah, right. People are people.
Right.
So you can catch them on a bad day or a good day. And,
it also helped that I've been following Scott Snyder's Twitter for, I don't know, 2 years.
It's that weird internet culture where you think you know someone.
You kind of get an idea of what they're going to be like, but you really don't know until you actually talk to them.
And during the course of the 3 hours, we sat there on the hard concrete floor of Chicago. Greg Capullo comes out, starts shaking hands with every single person in line, and then he was like, hey, can you call my buddy and just tell him he's a piece of shit? And he's like, what's your name, man? He's like, James. He's like, hey, James, your friend here says you're a piece of shit. And he's like, you don't know who I am? I'm Greg Capullo.
Motherfucker.
And then he's like, here, your friend's going to send you a picture of he and I standing next to each other. And then he hangs up. He's like, come on, let's take that picture. We're going to prove to your friend.
That's
and it's
so awesome.
It's just one of those moments. I'm like, I'm standing next to, like, a dude that I'm waiting for in line for.
Right.
And he's just, like, the chillest human being ever. And this is the Sunday of, you know, where this is Sunday, the last day of the con, where he's had to deal Friday, Saturday with just people all day. And I'm like, how do you do this?
Right.
For, you know, the 8 people that listen to our podcast consistently.
It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, like, I think a lot of the creators now, like, at least a lot of the new up-and-coming ones, understand that the fans are what matter.
Right.
Like
They drive the industry. They drive your career.
Yeah.
You know, you make your career through the stuff that you create, but they're behind it.
It's like they can be genuinely good people, but at the same time still know that these people came to see you for
a
reason.
Yeah. Do you want some candy, by the way?
Oh, no, it'll kill my teeth.
Okay.
I have sensitive-ass teeth.
frozen, too.
Thank you.
My drink was still cold.
I'm a big fan. A big part of the CCB is trying to promote, but help people who are doing things in Colorado.
Yeah. I remember asking permission
businesses.
From you guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, can I post this link? You know, this is something we're kind of proud of.
Yeah.
We want to get the word out. And, you know, as long as you're not selling anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing is, so that when I started it and in talking with some people, I kind of came to the realization that if this thing, you know, became 800, 900, 1,000 people and there was a marketing base that a business could make money off of, to a certain extent, I wouldn't, if you had a 5% increase in your sales margin, wouldn't I be entitled to a percentage of that?
Yeah.
A percentage of that?
We're a bunch of elitist frat boys.
Right,
so I mean,
know.
Like, it's pretty rough.
Fuck. Dude, that's a whole... That's 3 hours in and of itself.
Yeah.
That is a whole...
I was like, I don't want to go down
this
that
is like the fifth time I've seen that phrase pop up. I'm like, all right, I'm just...
And it's like, I don't even... Because it's such a false premise. I don't even know how to address it because I don't understand how it came to be. Like, I've talked to people. Like, why do you think this way? Why do you think this way? Because I know that the diversity of the group, from Batman-loving
Rob Liefeld, best artist ever.
Or people who love Todd McFarlane or fucking Frank Miller, whatever. Like, I don't see where the elitism occurs.
I think it's like the people that are sitting out here right now in snapbacks crushing beer cans on their head. I don't know about you. It's really throwing me
right,
off.
The dude doing keg stands over in the corner.
Gareth needs to calm down.
Right, dude.
John, put that keg down.
Don't shuck on that beer.
It's bench pressing the long boxes.
Right, exactly.
All right. Wait, are we this beer?
Steve said Romita's here.
Are you even comic, bro?
Right. Oh, man. Oh, but perfect. I got to say, because I found our group randomly.
I was going to ask you guys how I wanted to, so, I wanted to get a story. So
pretty much anything I follow is from him,
yeah,
usually.
Yeah, because I'm kind of like, I'm the person that drags everyone down with me. I'm like the siren. So I...
I just whisper sweet
nothings in people's ears, and they come off their boat.
Yes, but I do want to read Batman.
So I started following comics when I lived in Greeley in college. There was a comic store that lived about, that was like two blocks away from Zach and I's apartment, Grand Slam Comics.
I know Grand, I've been in Grand Slam.
So we started getting our pools there and everything, and I moved back to Aurora when I was student teaching. Zach wasn't near me anymore, so I needed like someone to talk to. I was kind of just like, I'm doing all these cool nerdy things, but there's no one around me.
There's no one to share
with. And
I was still in school.
Just
so
mentioning
I was busy
comics,
all the time.
You know, it actually popped up as like an ad on the side of my thing. Shit. And I don't know if it was like Destiny or anything, but I'm like, okay, I'll see what this stuff is about. And I clicked on it and started kind of being like a lurker in the pages, like, you know, the other 700 people,
right,
or
right,
800 people.
Right.
And then I started, you know, posting more once I started to recognize names. I'm like, oh, I can post on John's. I can post on, like, Ryan, and started to get to know them. And then I'm like, okay, this is a really cool group. I want to start sharing it with people. And I grabbed Zach here. Oh, sorry, I was leaving. Good seeing you, man.
Always good to see you, Sarah.
Yeah, it's good seeing you.
And like I said, I started dragging people down with me. So I'm like, all right, Zach, you're coming with me into this group. And then I invited my girlfriend, who's a cosplayer. I'm like, some people do some really cool cosplay stuff. You could probably talk to them.
Right.
And then we invited Steven. Then, you know, we got the announcement we were getting too big and you had to be approved into the page. And that's when I started inviting people that I'm really close to, like these two. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to approve you right away. Don't worry.
Right. Right.
So...
So you got drug in by him.
Yeah.
You got drug in by him.
Yeah. Like,
and I'm still...
I just got into comics, like, started about 6 months ago.
Okay.
Took a break and then got back into it with Rebirth. But when I got started, Zach's like, hey, I'm going to invite you to this group. It's, you know, a bunch of comic book people. You can probably see what they're talking about. I was like, all right, yeah. So I've been one of the lurkers, just kind of seeing what's in there. Like, oh, that looks cool. I'll click on that.
I still lurk.
Yeah, I'm still very much a lurker.
Yeah.
See, I see you post, though, from time to time.
Every now and then, yeah.
How did you
like, Randy's name I always see, too, on the CCBE page.
Actually,
hey, Randy.
Are you off?
Are you off, man?
No.
Later.
Have fun being warm. Tell us how it is.
Let us know.
We're going to petition.
Tell
gonna,
stories about the
we're
heat.
We're
going
to petition John to move us up into the loft.
Yeah, I don't even. We're going to take the loft.
No,
I don't remember how. I think.
I think it'd be a good recording space. It'd be cool up there.
Gareth, get a little bit closer.
Are you ready?
That's perfect. You can probably steal one of Jason's chairs.
Yeah.
It's not here. Cuddle with
this Zach,
yeah,
you can,
dude,
can Steve, you can grab Sarah's.
Like.
That's really cute, guys. So
I know I was before the invite happened, like where you had to start cutting people off,
right?
And I just kind of like I was like, cool, join group, and then it was like, you're in the group. And I was like, you know, but I heard from it. I'm probably either from like, definitely someone who's already been a member. I think it was like maybe John.
Okay,
maybe
okay,
you know,
because I don't know. Is all of RTG in?
I think most of us
most
are
of,
in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, and I heard about Red Team Go from the group because so many of you guys are in there. Like, I jumped ship from all seas because
same.
I talk to John all the time in the group, and I'm like, oh,
I'm pretty much the
story.
One who convinced. Pretty much convinced you to come here. I was like,
after they messed up my pool,
I was just like,
every
just
single week.
John's man.
For, and that was when Rebirth came out in
Under
Rebirth
the bus.
Comics. Rebirth Comics were not in my pool, and I'm like, where's my Aquaman? It was like, oh, we're sold out. I'm like. Where's Batman? Oh, we sold out of that. I'm like, that's in my pool.
Where
it's like
where they pull it out of your pool to give it to someone else who got there sooner.
Yeah.
Well, and didn't they like give you every single Civil War tie-in?
Yeah, they gave me every single Civil War tie-in. I'm like, I'm not even pulling Civil War. And it's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm kind of getting a little fed up. Sorry if anyone here works at OLCs that listens to us. But like the community that we have, I feel warmed and welcomed by, you know, getting to know John through that group. You know, I was here to help open the store. I was helping carry long boxes from random people's cars.
It was like the first.
Yeah. 1 year ago today.
Yeah, what's funny actually. Is my first interaction with John and probably the group itself outside of Facebook was coming here to pull the first or buy the first five issues of Sex Criminals from John. Like, we came in at the end of everything. And I was like, oh, hi.
But see, you guys, so I hear more stories of people feeling welcomed in the group and a part of the group than I hear of people who
get fed up and leave.
And, or, you know, the elitist shit. Like, I hear more, so it's like,
Gareth, put the keg down. Please.
Chill, man.
So I hear more of, more good stories, more positive stories that tell me that the ethic of the group is still being served. It's not like it's been completely consumed by some nefarious plot that, right.
some agenda
Batman level shit.
Yeah, some Court of Owls shit. Yeah.
I have to admit, it's all me. I am basically the Steve Rogers Captain America of CCB.
You heard here first. It's been a whole plot.
So since you have a famous
Illuminati
catchline,
confirmed.
Should we just close hanger the CCBE from now moving forward?
It's like, again, because
dude, I will associate you with that term from now until time ends.
Yep.
You are Mr. Close Hanger.
2016, hashtag.
Well, it's like, you know, the three of us, we're all young 20-somethings. And, like, you know, pop culture was kind of getting super popular, but not, like, comic book culture. And so finding this group was really cool because, you know, talking to some of my friends, they weren't into comics. They're like, oh, yeah, I like this, but I don't read the comics. I just wanted to find someone to talk to about this kind of stuff. So
it can be such a lonely passion sometimes. Fuck.
Let me tell you, like, the semester that I was doing everything, you know, without anyone to talk to, I was kind of bored and lonely, and I had no one to talk comics with, and that was such a bummer.
You want to talk to, come here.
America's here.
Come on.
She is the number one bitch planet saga defender, and we are proud of her and happy for her. How's it going?
Hi.
Who are you?
He just introduced me. Do I need to say my name again?
Yes.
My name is Marika. Are you happy now?
Yes.
Okay.
We're good. Base is covered.
Oh. He's gonna go get water. So how is it being a dirty non-compliant?
I'm choking on stuff.
Is it some of this free frozen candy?
Right. Yeah. Excuse me. Okay. Well, while I choke on my spit over here, it's pretty awesome.
You're the reason why I started reading Bitch Planet, by
really?
The way.
Really? Yeah. That's awesome.
Watching
I'm
you
glad
defend
to hear
it
that.
To the end of the earth.
Yeah, no, that book is freaking awesome.
It is awesome.
My selling point when I present it to people at the comic shop that I work at is this was Kelly Sue DeConnick's response to people giving her crap and saying that her run on Captain Marvel was angry feminist book.
I love
and
that book
like,
so much.
Yeah.
I would fight people on it.
Yeah, well, and she's like,
he actually got in a
you
want to
see angry feminism?
Okay,
here
I'll
you go.
Show you angry
I'll
feminism.
Show you angry feminism. So I love that book.
I can't wait to meet her at Emerald City.
Oh, dude, I would be so stoked
to
meet her.
I love House Diffraction so much.
Yeah, she's awesome, too, and she responds to tweets and all kinds of stuff, too. So
she only will take
cool.
photos as Duckface.
Yeah,
that's great.
Well, and the other thing is I am actually slightly taller than her.
Really?
So, yes.
She's that tiny?
Yeah. No, she's really small. Because I asked her because they were doing the Bitch Planet non-compliant leggings through, what the hell is the?
We Love Fine.
No, it wasn't We Love Fine.
I know they do a lot of their stuff
through there. They're unauthorized. If they're selling Bitch Planet leggings.
But is it though? Because she owns
she's
it.
Like a lion
she owns
cat
that whole
plushies.
Thing, doesn't she?
Before they became
yeah, but
thing.
If We Love Fine is using the art, that's an unauthorized because they did a limited, not a limited thing, but I'm trying to remember the name of the Bombsheller leggings. They do like high end leggings. They're awesome, but they did a design with them.
Okay,
Val DeLandro, the artist for the book.
I wonder if those are the ones who did the Tracer leggings.
They do a lot of really cool leggings, and I will say they're awesome. But I had tweeted her and asked her, like, I'm really short, and I always have a problem with leggings fitting right. And she
same.
Was like, no, I'm five foot, so.
so
I'm
hard to find leggings.
Slightly taller than her, so that's pretty cool. But I don't know, she's really cool.
Tracy. Oh,
so
that sounds
yeah,
like a good one.
Now is a very applicable Tracy? Time in the history of our nation to be non-compliant.
Nope.
And so
okay. Bitch plan and come back.
What's that?
Haven't Bitch Planet come back?
Yeah, it's been quite
hiatus,
a delay.
Yeah.
It is a create her own project with Image, so sometimes their release schedule.
I mean, I finally learned that Sex Criminals is coming back almost after a year. It's going to be back in February.
I tweeted him, got a response in a half hour.
Yeah, no, they're pretty cool about answering that kind of stuff, but yeah. No, that's a great book. So I keep hoping that they will do a collection of the back matter from Bitch Planet from the single issues, because the trade doesn't collect all of that.
Oh,
so
really?
It would be really cool to see a collection of all those, you know, really topical essays on feminism, the world, and all this stuff. So
yeah, I think her last set of notes are one of the first ones I've actually read in the back of those, because usually unless I'm like super into the book, I don't read the notes typically.
What?
From
dude,
creators.
You're missing
what?
Out on so much
I know.
Cool stuff.
I read the latest one from Bitch Planet, and I was like, wow, that is super eye opening.
Yeah, yeah, they have really great stuff back there. So yeah, it's good.
I really should start doing it more.
So we had Matt come in and talk about all the things that he reads, and you're kind of like on the same boat as he is, where you're
there's
much
a lot
more
of crossover.
Focused on like, yeah,
yeah, we have a lot of similar tastes in books as far as like indie and like weird horror or sci-fi. I'd say I probably read more mystery and horror mystery stuff than he does necessarily. I think we have different tastes in writers. Like, he likes some of the super wordy, in-depth,
lots
philosophical thought process of writing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that stuff. And me, I'm like, if I wanted to read that much in a book, like, I would read a novel. So it's kind of weird for the medium, but I don't know. Like, Watchmen is an amazing book, but it's in depth. It's not something you read like, I'll read this a little while before I go to bed. So I was like, I don't remember
that Rorschach
whole last page.
Was so great.
I don't know what's happening.
Glass of milk.
You don't like to be kept up at night about existential
no,
crisis.
Yeah. Then it's
Black
like,
Monday Murders.
All these philosophical thoughts in my head. I can't handle it. No, some of the books that I'm reading right now, other than Bitch Planet, that are my favorites are Revival, which is just such a cool...
Tim Seeley.
Yeah, such a great book. Have you read that one?
Yes.
Yeah, I anxiously await the next trade because I've been reading it in trade.
Same here.
Yeah, not to mention that the covers by Jenny Frisian are just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of her art, especially her depictions of women, because it's never like, look at my butt. It's it's beautiful, even if it's a nude.
Very
well,
artsy.
It's like non-objectifying.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I can't remember. Was I the one? I feel like I talked to you about Wicked at some point when I was in the shop.
About what?
Wicked and Divine?
No, I haven't read Wicked and Divine.
Okay.
So that might have been somebody else.
It might have been.
But yeah, Revival is one that I definitely try and get people hooked on, because that one's very much, they call it a rural noir, and it totally is. It's like small town, I can never remember, it's like Iowa or something. And then like all of a sudden the recently dead start coming back to life.
Solid.
But not like zombified, they're just like alive, but not really alive. So there's a lot of mystery behind it and them dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And of course you got like the religious crazies that are like, it's a sign from God.
Yeah.
And
or like, if they did truly come back, did they come back as them, their whole selves, or
right.
something
and,
else?
And they don't
on?
Know what caused it, and so there's a lot of mystery around that. And then you have the whole like small town dynamics where the, you know, the town sheriff is has been the sheriff forever, and his daughter's also a cop, and there's those family dynamics between them and everything. So it's an excellent book.
Did you ever read Effigy by Seeley?
I haven't read that one. I need to read some more of his stuff. I've been wanting to read Hack Slash too.
Yeah, I've read the first volume of Hack Slash, and it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, because so, I really dig his writing. So
it's a lot of fun. Like, Effigy kind of goes along the same things. I asked him about it, because I was like one of the seven people he told me that actually read the series and bought it.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's like, you know, the fandom culture. Like, I hung out with a lot of the Power Rangers during this con tour. So that's where the concept of Effigy came
right.
from. It's like these people that worship the Power Rangers and think they are the Power Rangers
okay.
and everything.
Okay.
So,
that like
it goes along with that
break
cool little
from reality
crime noir.
In the fandom.
Yeah, it's so
community
bizarre.
Type of thing.
And it's super cool because the main character is that Power Ranger-esque character.
Okay.
And she meets this detective because, you know, there's a whole mystery, like, these people are trying to find her and possibly kill her, and she's been framed for everything, so...
Huh.
I would definitely check it out.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I have such a stack of things to read. It's absurd.
Have you gotten the status of I work at a comic book shop, so I'm going to read comics behind the counter?
Oh, no. I'm usually too busy.
Yeah.
The handful of times that I've actually done that has been, like, I have exhausted. We just recently, like, extended our hours, so mm-hmm. there have been some nights where it's, like, it's 9:30, and there hasn't been anyone in the store for a little bit, and I have nothing to do. I am thoroughly bored. So, but it's a rare occasion that I actually do that. There's usually always something to do.
Right.
But especially if there's people, I'm the person who's like, hey, can I help you find anything?
You're that person in the group, too. It's like when people ask for comic recommendations.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah,
saga,
yeah.
saga, saga.
That's how I'm with WickDiv.
I publicly shame people if they have not read Saga in the store. And I am unapologetic about it because anyone who calls himself a comic fan needs to have read Saga.
Yeah.
Because, I mean... Not to mention, at this point, it's won multiple Eisner Awards. Like, it's on literary, you know, mm-hmm. award lists and all this stuff of, like, top things that you should be reading.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one's amazing.
Have you read Saga, Steve?
I have the first trade to read. Have you ever read it? Get on it.
Shame. For shame.
I didn't mean to throw you under the bus, but I really
Dude.
Wanted to hear it.
Really? Because the
For shame.
It's more like throwing you underneath an 18-wheeler with Marika here. But, I mean, small details. Yeah. It's like
right.
an Optimus Prime ran over you and then stepped on you after.
And then transformed and shamed
I got my boots on, too.
Just kidding.
For shame.
She will kick your shins.
Give me the finger shame.
5 feet
shame.
Of fury.
Shame. No, we all do it at the store where you just, like, do the, like,
too.
The... Invasion of the Body Snatchers and point at people.
I like the, Always Sunny rendition of they just go shame and they wag their finger
right.
and chant it shame
right and then like rotten fruit starts coming out of nowhere it just like appears starts flying
what is happening oh boy
no so that's definitely one to read Why the Last Man is on the top of that everybody must read at some point
which is gonna be a TV show soon
they finally got a showrunner is it
They've
actually in production at this point.
I think so.
They have a showrunner attached to it.
Oh, cause, yeah, because they've been talking about it for a couple of years at least. It had been optioned a while back.
I
so
heard about it like, was it like 2012? I first heard about it.
Yeah,
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. So a lot of times stuff gets optioned and it doesn't necessarily ever make it.
Everything
to the screen,
from Image.
So. Well, I only saw like the first. Few episodes of Outcast thus far because
yeah.
I'm poor and have no cable but that was really cool
yeah
and like really was true to the comics but also adding on to it like
mm-hmm.
stuff that he could do in that television medium that you couldn't necessarily do on the page
yeah
so that's been a really cool show
very cool so yeah. So we had Matt come on and talk about his like whole start so how did you get that Like, where was your start in comic books?
Like, getting into comics?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I married this guy that was like, comics are great. You should get into comics. And I just ignored him for a long time. Because he kept dragging me to really horrible, horrible comic book movies. And after, I want to say, the second Fantastic Four movie that I got dragged to.
What?
Let's not hate on the Shaquille O'Neal steal.
Oh.
Well, what about
so
Daredevil?
Bad. No, this was long. Oh,
like,
I've never seen
like
Daredevil.
Really,
the old
one?
Ben Affleck one. I've never seen it.
Okay.
But yeah, no, so I was like so not into it. But then I got into The Walking Dead, the show. And he's like, you know that's comics, right? So the first ever like comic
Is that like
I
your realization
bought.
Of like this could be what?
This can yeah. be
good.
Is that bad cheese?
So that was the first trade that I bought walking into a comic book store. But then he was looking through some back issues, and he's like, so did you know there are X-Files comics? And I said, what?
Don't put that evil on me.
And then he dragged you down
the
rabbit hole.
Because I'm a giant X-Files nerd. And so, yeah, that started my back issue collecting. And I tend to, for I love buying like weird alien stuff. Like that's all my oldest comics are like weird like UFO flying saucers.
I feel
did
like
they
you
come to
might
kidnap?
Really like Clean Room if you haven't read it yet.
Clean Room?
Yeah.
I have the first trade of it that I haven't read yet. Cause,
I feel like
yeah,
you'll really like
yeah,
it if you Gail like that
Simone's
stuff.
Yeah, Gail Simone's a killer writer, and yeah. the premise of it just sounds creepy and cool.
She
so.
Goes off the rails in this one. Like,
yeah,
it is
cool.
unhinged Gail Simone horror.
And she is enormously amusing to follow on Twitter as well.
Yes, she is. Rob Schneider.
Yeah, yeah. So she's fun. But yeah, so that's kind of how I got started into it. And then I started reading a bunch of different stuff and just collecting way too much. Now he tells me I have too many comics and I need to stop buying so many.
What?
So, yeah.
But you don't have the mics.
There's only so much room,
but
right?
My sack isn't that big.
Yeah,
that's
no.
This book culture is just like, I need more books. You
yeah.
haven't read the books. You,
well,
I need more books.
And it's kind of a hazard also working in a comic book store because then I'm like, oh, I need to read that. And then someone will tell me, you know, they're buying stuff. And I'm like, oh, what's that about? That's that
See, Jason.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
I don't know. So that was kind of the event of it. And then part of it, too, was, like, being involved in the group.
Yeah.
He started the Colorado Comic Book Enthusiast. And so I got to meet a lot more people, get a lot
John
more suggestions from people and everything like that. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey, Gareth, I'm so sorry. You've been sitting here forever.
It's really
you
cold out
need
here
to plug
too.
Yourself. I you keep coming back. I'm like, this dude's really dedicated. Just I'm like, oh yeah, he has a table. So Gareth, how about you? Like, what was your whole delve into the world of comics and Red Team Go and all that? Just plug everything, and see ya. Have fun. High five. Sorry, awkward high five.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. So Gareth, Mr.
Yes.
Keg Stand Extraordinaire, do
the
you comics, bro?
Stands. Do you even comics? Yeah, no, I am. I've been reading comics since I was about 6 or 7. There's actually a picture somewhere floating around in a photo album that's embarrassingly tucked on someone's shelf that has me climbing in my diapers. So I'm like 1 to 2 years old, climbing up my uncle's leg to get to a box of comics on his lap.
Can we make you a meme?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's neat. I thought I was already a meme. What's
okay.
going on here? did nobody get the memo? Damn. But yeah, no, so I've been comic booking it up for a long time. I've been drawing since I was old enough to hold a pencil. So really, it's just been progressing from there, you know. First comic I ever bought, well, the first comic that was ever bought for me, my own comic, it was a sick day from school. And,
good
to see you guys. You too.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. See ya.
And, my mom, like, stopped by a 7-Eleven or something when they used to sell comics. And she's like, you know, I kind of, like, struggled into the store. And she's like, what do you want? You want some comics? I was like, yeah. You know, of course, as a sick kid. But I got a Ghost Rider.
You're, like, scratching on your arm. I need some comics. Like, that kind of sick kid.
Yeah, it was already feeling the heat.
Do you have the Batmans?
And surprisingly, Batman was not the first character I ever bought a comic for. He is my favorite character, but he's not the first character I ever bought a comic
Who's
for.
Who's your first character?
It was, there was three. It was a Punisher novel, or it was a Punisher Warzone comic. I can't remember which one. It was a Ghost Rider comic book, Spirit of Vengeance. I can't remember which number. And it was Amazing Spider-Man 236, I believe. It was when Eric Larson was still drawing Spider-Man.
Okay.
And it was a crossover with Nova. So
cool.
That's what I got. And then...
So was that like Richard Rider Nova? Or was there a Nova beforehand even?
I don't know if there was a Nova beforehand, but it was the Richard Rider.
Okay, because my weird thing is the first Nova I ever knew was Sam Alexander, like the kid Nova.
Yeah.
And people are talking about like, yeah, Richard Rider's coming back. I'm like, who? Because again, we're the kind of like young blood of comics. They're just doing like sick donuts.
Well, what's going to be better with our keg stands?
Yeah.
Right?
So
I got John donuts. Coming out here in a second.
Yeah, that's...
Eventually. When he,
so, like,
when
you've
he
been drawing,
manages
you've been
to get
reading,
through other people.
And what are you working on like right now with...
Oh, man, right
everything.
Now. Well, Red Team Go, obviously you guys know I'm part of Red Team Go.
Mm-hmm.
One of the founding members, actually. A lot of people don't know that, but it's just me and, like, three other
You have,
guys.
Like, a flag that says you're the founder, though. Like,
I should have a whole, you know.
01 on the back of a jersey,
yeah.
Red Team Go.
Number one.
We've been talking about getting baseball tees for our podcast. dragged him over.
Yeah.
But, we're still here.
Welcome, John.
We've been in the cold.
Once again.
Mr. John apologizes Comics and Collectibles.
I thought that said Carnitas at first. I was like, how the fuck
it's really good.
Is that
Carnita flavored monster?
Delicious.
Yeah, no, Red Team Go right now. We're working on...
in a monster. I feel energized but full at the same time.
Yeah, we can. It's so cold too. I mean, my drink has never gotten warm out here.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so sorry, Gareth.
We finished the Dinopocalypse. I don't know if you guys knew about that. Dinopocalypse issues 1, 2, and 3 are out.
Awesome, dude.
That's just a series of anthology stories of basically what would happen if dinosaurs came back nowadays. You know, we got walled up cities. We got, you know, dinosaur hunters. We got everybody roaming around on motorcycles and like a post-apocalyptic wasteland type, you know, situation, and it's pretty freaking cool.
You know, as a comic book nerd, I'm either really prepared for the post-apocalypse, or I'm gonna
not
die
prepared
for
at all.
Yeah,
like, I get the feeling. I mean, some of us are, you know, there's the, you know, the atypical comic book guy. Well, you know,
I take a I take
actually,
Kurt.
I think that was a stab at me because I'm the fat one with glasses.
You're the one that owns the comic
shop. I don't know
shop.
What you're talking about.
See, let me tell you about Aquaman.
Small spurt. That is actually a very strong.
I'm like a dwarf.
Quickly,
see,
little.
The joke is that John's gonna call up his flying fish and just ride them off into the sunset.
Just flying,
I'm out.
Flying fish to lift my fat ass up. Like,
and it'll be so long. Thanks for the fish.
Right.
We'll throw an Adams reference.
Yes. Read Aquaman. You're like, why was he such a joke? And then you see the flying fish. Like, that's right.
John's whole, like, war since 2011 was make Aquaman cool again.
That's right.
Aquaman's always been cool.
He's been pretty sweet. Like, I told...
I mean, Super Friends kind of ruined it for Aquaman.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Okay.
That was
original,
the death knell.
Like, Aquaman's whole power scheme has always been cool.
Yep.
He's just as strong as Superman.
Yep.
He's, you know, almost as indestructible as Superman. He can swim across the ocean super fast.
Faster than Superman.
Yeah, he can telepathically communicate with animals. Although they did expand on it recently, you know.
It's like
he's and he's the king of 70% of the Earth. Come on.
You're like reiterating John's point from like episode 7
of
the show.
Hey, Aquaman is cool.
We're like 36 now, right?
Yep, 36.
And now,
dear Lord.
Aquaman is, Jason Momoa, who is like the coolest pick ever.
Did you see the video of him chucking a tomahawk?
Yes. Drinking a beer.
He drinks a beer,
then chucks a tomahawk.
I'm Jason Momoa.
Quote for quote, I'm Jason Momoa. I like drinking beer and throwing axes.
And then hits a bullseye with a tomahawk. Fucking amazing. It's like, this man is Aquaman.
So whenever anybody's like, well, what do you think about his casting? I'm going to play that video. That's all I need to say. Watch this. Watch this marvelous beast.
Go watch anything he is in Game of Thrones.
True.
Like,
I'm sorry. Khal Drogo?
Excuse me.
I'll give you your crown.
Was he in Battlestar? No, he was in Stargate Atlantis. There we go.
Your keg stand is showing. Calm down, elitist nerds. Jesus.
Well, I go with the Romita approach.
Do
I do bench press, long boxes.
Do you even nerd?
Do you even comics, bro?
So, John, it is officially...
You gotta keep...
Oh, yeah, Gareth needs to keep going.
Easy.
We're really bad on tangents.
Sorry.
Stop trying to stop Mr. Elitist Frat Boy.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah, bro. Do you have a podcast?
Clearly not.
Have you
shown
John,
your
enough, shirt?
Apparently.
So this is what happens when you bring, you know, the outside guys over. I'm not even an official. I just kind of just show up and talk crap on TV.
Podcast and chill. That's amazing.
Nice.
That is amazing.
And right now, actually, back to what we were talking about before, Red Team Go is doing another anthology series, kind of like the old horror comics where you just had short stories throughout the whole thing. And it's going to be 10 or 12 issues. Can't remember.
I'm down for that.
It's steampunk-ish. Monster Hunter novels, so it's kind of taking.
I'm ready. Yeah. I'm already sold.
Yeah. You're like, yes.
You're steampunk. Like, steampunk monsters.
Boom.
Yeah, no, it's and that's that's what
they're
happening.
Frozen. They will break your teeth.
Put them
those Jolly Ranchers are.
Or under your taint. Put it. That'll warm up the candy real quick.
Put them between the ball bag. The Grundle Ranchers. That needs to be drawn. You need to draw that.
That needs that.
That needs that.
Tim, we got your next project for you.
Apparently,
or Gareth.
I am coining everything.
Yes.
Like, you know, hashtag Codehanger 2016.
Yes.
I'm in. Right. I'm in for steampunk monsters.
Yeah, as soon as you said Monster Hunter, I'm like, okay, steampunk monster. Cool. I'm like, all right, let's go. So,
yeah, and like my story in particular is going to be, I think it's issue 7, and it's going to be the a 3-part anthology with 3 stories, and each story is about a werewolf. You know, in my story, the main character is a werewolf. He's a monster hunter.
I mean,
who's
let's
also
be honest,
a werewolf.
You are a werewolf.
Apparently, yeah. So, yeah.
How many monocles does your werewolf wear?
What's that?
How many monocles does your werewolf wear?
I mean, monocles?
Yeah.
None.
Not true steampunk. No monocle.
Not going full steampunk. I mean, I don't want to just put gears on his ass and be like,
steampunk.
Well, that's how he moves around.
I'm going.
His hops in a steam powered werewolf mech.
Personally, I'm going with a more, you know, battle chaser / like Final Fantasy approach to it.
All right. Okay. Yeah, stop. You already have my money.
You can't give you his money fast enough.
Stop.
Let's just hit the table. Did you hear that?
Dude.
Like, wait, monsters? Final Fantasy and such?
As soon as you say Final Fantasy, I'm sold 100%.
At least that's the look I'm going for in my story. And then personally, actually, I've talked about it before on a few other podcasts. I am doing easiest way to put it, I'm actually writing a book with my ex-wife, who is actually my best friend still. I'm doing a book with her. She's writing it. What?
You don't hear that too often.
And the story is based off of my 2 kids, and it's basically like it's Calvin and Hobbes meets Inception meets Teen Titans. So
again, I'm still sold. Yeah, like dude, everything you said, I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yes. Let me just give a blank check right now.
Take you need a kidney?
I will take your
blank check. I will totally.
$3.99,
and I'll just keep like writing in numbers until the bank guy is like, that works. Like,
how about now?
There you go.
This is a workout. How many zeros can I write in?
Like, okay, here's 5. That's it. Okay.
Is that before the decimal?
But yeah, and then let's see. I have another book I'm working on with a buddy of mine. I'm helping him write it. We're not sure if I'm going to draw it, but it's kind of like a. It's a take, and it's a kind of a goof on every trope from Dungeons and Dragons you can think of.
You know, solid.
We have the sorceress who is a super powerful sorceress. She never graduated school. She doesn't know what she's doing. You know, we have
actually describing my D&D character too. Can you please stop, Gareth? You're reading my dream journal right now.
Mine, man.
Yeah. Another character
skills to stock you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Someone's been reading my dream journal.
You know that like rustling in your closet at night? That's just me just going to town.
God.
Sorry. I don't know if that's
now
you're
going to hear those noises.
Now make him wear that cosplay costume.
All right.
Switch costumes.
Chainmail bikini, set, let's go.
There's a gnome berserker who basically looks like totally jacked, but he skips leg day. That's how he looks.
So just like little chicken sticks.
Oh yeah, and he carries around 2 axes.
I'm not gonna get this anymore. No one skips leg day. I'm really upset.
That is a cardinal sin.
You know, basically, and the way I describe that one is basically, it's like you know how Lord of the Rings, you have the Fellowship. Well, this is the B team. This is not the A team that gets sent to do all.
This sounds awesome.
It's the B team.
Like, yeah. I need to make sure I friend you on Facebook so I can follow these things now.
Yeah, Ghost Wolf Studios.
Ghost Wolf Studios.
Should we break nude mutants?
Yes.
Should we break that now?
Yeah.
We're gonna do nude mutants instead of new mutants. It's just weird random people.
It's just shower scenes. Everyone has like a little hole in the shower.
There's like the dude that can do the helicopter, and that's how he flies. He doesn't have any superpowers. He's just naked with a wang, and he wiggles his hips.
It's like,
and
who's that
off.
In the sky? Oh no!
God, he's here.
Tap out. I'm out.
The helicopter.
Helicopter.
Does he like do his own theme music when he goes like da 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 da?
Just Ride of the Valkyries.
John looks like you're...
He basically, he plays Ride of the Valkyries the whole time.
Right. No, I can't. I mean, it's too cold out here. That's what I mean. Yeah.
John, suck us out in the cold.
That's exactly what he means.
We have the heat lamp.
Yeah,
I think it's
been helping.
Yeah,
I'm not next to it, so...
There's beers in the... That's... Nah. Oh, liquor.
What's alcohol?
Fireball, clang.
Something that other people
really
drink when you're...
Yes, it's a hardcover that's over by all the Hellboy stuff. It's on the top.
We're looking.
It's on the top row.
Discussing store things.
Sorry.
We took John away when the
show. So the helicopter. Tell us more about this character.
No, he's part of the New Mutants. It's, you know.
So who else joins this team?
Mutants. Mutants is pretty. We can't. It's pretty copyrighted. It's like really copyrighted.
Is it?
Yeah.
What about, remember all the bootleg the mutant stuff in the 90s? That's what we need to do.
Remember all the 90s?
What is it, Wolverina? There was a couple others.
The Hedgehog.
There was like it was spelled X-Men, but it was supposed to be pronounced Z-Men.
Z-Men.
Z-H-M-E-N. That's how we get around it. Fuck you, Stan Lee.
Z-Men.
You fucking brick.
There's another guy. That
next time I see you at con.
Wristwatch with his dick, and that's how he teleports. So you have like the crab walker who like just can speed while crab walking. Exactly. Nude mutants.
And the guy, and like, you know, we have a speedster, and it's basically just a really, obviously it's got to be, you know, exaggerated and just really giant, you know.
So it's like
tits, breasts, whatever, you know. Yeah. And she has black eyes constantly because she runs really fast.
So another lady that can crush things between her muscle cans.
So do you have like a Superman character whose ability is just to change out of his clothes really, really fast? Like, that's, they do the Linda Carter spin, and then so just everything drops.
No, basically what just happens is he just, like, and this is going to be constant. Every time he looks into the camera, quote-unquote, like, he breaks the fourth wall by looking at the reader, and he just, like, lifts his eyebrow, and his clothes are gone.
Give the smolder.
Yeah, he's...
What about a mutant who gets their ability, like, they get stronger the more they take off? So they, like, start with, like, just, you know, just, like, a tank top and shorts. Yeah.
No, copyright at first. Damn it. He called dibs already.
Dibs it.
Shit.
Hang on, I have a laptop. I'll get us a copyright claim.
Tap, tap, no take backs.
What's funny is you're going to have people contact you. What's even funny is people are going to be contacting, like, is that a real book?
I'm interested in this.
2018. We're gonna launch our Patreon.
And then
next
year.
We see
that, and John and I are just like, we're just laughing the whole time. Look at these, and then it becomes like people really.
They're
want
making money
like,
off this. What would the porn parody be?
My idea.
Well, no, and then like people want it so much that we have to put out a comic, and then fuck, I'm gonna be that guy.
So what's the porn parody called?
The porn parody of Nude Mutants.
Of Nude Mutants. Yeah. I think that's right. So.
Well, no, because
really
the name's already
trademarked. The Triple X-Men.
Neuter Mutants?
Neuter.
Neutered Mutants?
I can't wait to see what Genosha's like.
Come on.
I'm already excited for this.
Someone might.
In more ways than
everybody's
one.
Everybody's supposed to be accepted nowadays, so.
Everyone's got something.
Diversity, right? So, I mean, hey.
Vasectomy, man.
I mean, as the one Asian person at this table, diversity is great.
Well, I mean, it's not, you're not the only, like, ethnicity. I'm half Mexican.
Okay, fair game.
I'm also Irish.
Albino, so, I mean, you got one of those weirdos, too.
Yeah.
You got Aquaman over here.
Throw a dart at a map. I'm probably got some from there.
Wait, what's that SpongeBob SquarePants character that makes fun of Aquaman?
Mermaid Man and Burkle Boy.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Yes. That's who John and I basically are right now.
That's actually his cosplay for DCC this year.
I gotta work on that.
Oh, man.
Red team, go.
Back to it.
Steampunk.
Oh, we weren't talking about that?
I'm gonna go back inside. Nude news.
Yeah, no, that's
copyright. Trademark.
That's pretty much all we got going
now
on.
Now at Hall of Justice Comics.
We also have a Halloween issue coming up this year. I'm going to put that on record on tape, so now we have to do it.
Wait, but it's...
I'm trying to get to the heat lamp and almost flew off my chair.
That would be amazing. You should do that again.
All right, ready? Ready?
Ready? Then we're like, Nightwing just ate shit.
Just did a backflip. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nobody likes Dick Grayson. That's why your parents died. They killed themselves.
That makes the worst noise.
It sounds like a terrible buzzer on a game show.
Yeah.
or like the last thing you hear in like a
cheaper neighborhood to bust someone in.
It's like a horror comedy movie. It's the last thing you hear before you die.
So red team go.
So anyway, red team go.
Eventually we'll get through the whole thing.
Yeah. John's normal podcast isn't here, so he's just abusing ours.
Going through withdrawals.
Get to the chopper
now. Something about dildos or whatever. That's all I hear every time I turn on
dildos?
Thinking outside the long box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like the beginning is all dildo talk somehow.
Well, and every time I show up, it's all like coat hangers and abortion. So.
I think I was listening to that episode pretty recently, actually.
He was on that episode the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was.
Zach has
he
to
was so traumatized. That was
man, that was so long ago.
That's your lineage now.
Yeah, no, but we have a Halloween special coming out this year. Like I said, putting it in.
It's going to come out Christmas
there.
Day, right?
Huh?
Christmas Day.
We should release it on Christmas Day.
Their show comes out on time, so that's really for 2017, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 20, you know.
Yeah, we're actually weekly. That's weird. Even if the show's 3 hours long, it takes a week to listen to it.
It's basically just it's a throwback to all those old, like, House of Mystery, you know, House of Horrors, all of those old comic books, the real horror comic books. That's what we're doing with that.
Nice.
And I think it's going to be a 64. I think it's going to be a graphic novel. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's going to be a graphic novel.
You heard it here first, graphic novel.
Graphic novel. Throw him under the bus.
The other founders, Red Team Go, are like, fucking Gary.
Goddamn. Well, what's funny is they're like, hey, tell us whenever you do podcasts. We'll, like, share it with people. And I'm like, you don't want to do that.
Because then you have deadlines. Then you have deadlines.
You give them like 30-second timestamps. Like, listen, here, here, and here. That's it.
Well,
else.
And they're like, yeah.
Halloween special now available in graphic novel, and that's it.
They're like, we're family friendly. I'm like, don't show them the podcast. If you want to tell any podcast I've been on, I feel like I would just ruin our name.
Yeah. I mean, we were pretty family friendly at first, and then we just like.
And then you gave up.
Episode 2 happened.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much it. We got a lot coming. We're going to be, you know, I have two or three other stories that I have tucked away that I'm not really yet.
In your Grundle?
Yes. They're in my Grundle.
Grundle Ranchers.
Good place.
And not really enough fleshed out to talk about those yet, but I mean, after Red Team Go gets all the anthologies done, we'll probably start working into single issues and like story arcs and break everyone up into teams and start actually being legit, air quotations.
Now available in hardcover.
Yeah. Now available in hardcover.
All right. All right, John.
John.
The grand finale of this episode.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think you guys should have rethought that.
Joke? The grand finale? You guys.
I think you're most sorry about leaving us out here in Hoth.
I really am.
Weather permitting.
Winterfell.
No, so you were like, yeah, we'll see you Saturday. I'm like, yeah. And I on the way
and then
home,
it snowed.
I was driving. He's like, did he invite me? I was going to go here anyways for like the 1 year anniversary thing. But am I doing the show here?
I asked Brooks, right?
I know, yeah. He told us.
I just didn't
day.
Get to them until Thursday.
Yeah, so it's your fault, not mine.
I assumed you were going to mention it to them as well.
Shit.
But, yeah.
He did mention it. He just said, see you Saturday. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and then
what
I took my
what did
like,
he mean?
Hey, we're recording Saturday. 1 o'clock work. Okay.
I asked if you were available.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 1 o'clock's not going to work for me. Let's try 1300 Eastern time. Or 1300. Because that's our
about
joke
3 p.m.
now.
Eastern.
Nice. This time doesn't work. Let's try this time.
Sure.
At the same time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Exactly. An hour afternoon, 12
just
Pacific
different
time.
Conversions at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've been open for a whole year.
A
we
whole
recorded
year.
Episode
crazy.
7 here. We were here the day you opened after everyone dragged the long boxes in and got some pizza
right,
instead.
Right.
And Zach bought sex criminals from you.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the
first
history
that was
at this
actual
store.
Crazy?
What's weird is I kept saying that I'm looking for a new shop and you kept coming to me. Saying, like, hey, we don't have an official brick-and-mortar shop yet, but...
Right.
You can come to my basement.
Like, oh, I'm going to wait on that. And
I got comics in the basement.
And now...
Hey, I think I have your Detective 871 in the basement.
Right.
You want to come down?
I'll find it.
Oh, no,
that's actually what... That's what
no,
made
I'm
me fully
not
come
naked.
Here. Because the comic shop owner was like, yeah, I have this. I'm friendly. I'm like, friendly. I'm going to shop here now.
That's crazy.
I don't mess
what
up your pole.
Crazy concept.
Yeah.
Like I said, I trust you to go through.
It's down here, remember? It's down here. God. Sorry, we talked about having low-hanging nipples at Rocky Mountain. It's a weird thing.
So, how does it feel?
Oh,
you've
it's,
whole year now.
It's crazy, man. Like, it's surreal at times. At times, it feels like we've been open for way longer than a year. And then other times, it's like, wow, it's only been a year. So it's a weird, surreal experience, but it's been
crazy. Just absolutely crazy.
What's something that you didn't, like, some expectation that you hope you would have met that you just didn't expect to actually happen that did?
Just the support that we've got. Yeah, literally. I mean, because it's a huge gamble. Like, this is a very niche thing that we're offering people. And it's not even, you know, comic books is such a niche subset of the nerd genre as a whole. Like, it's a huge risk to just open a comic book store out of the blue. And there's another shop here in town that does... They're more of a gaming store. Yeah, they're way more of a gaming store. They do a little bit of comics. They do, like, new comics for people and stuff like that. And I was like, well, you know, I think the town could support it. I think the area could support it because you've got to drive, you know, half an hour to get to another proper comic book store. And it's just been nuts. It's been crazy. So, you know, the customer support has really blown us away. Pull customers, all that stuff. It's just crazy to see where we were a year ago and look at, like, Diamond Invoices to where we are now and Diamond Invoices and realize that it's disgusting. It's just crazy.
Disgustingly good.
It's, well, and the, like, the amount of money that goes out weekly for new product and stuff like that, we're doing something right, so that's cool. It's nice to know that we're filling that niche in the community.
Yeah, that things are actually working.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you...
Selfie down the table.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. We're all posing for a picture now in the middle of the show.
Wait, you gotta...
The mic is in the way.
Okay. There we go.
Oh, no, you're recording. You just tapped the screen.
Okay, good enough. Close enough.
That's awesome.
Sorry, I was trying to make it.
That was, yeah.
I was actually going for more of a, like, in the process.
Those levels, though. Eh, whatever.
I mean, this is a normal episode for me. So
you're not the one who has to touch it anyway.
What? Why? Aquaman.
What?
It's a microphone. I don't have to yell loud.
So Aquaman.
Aquaman. Thanks, Aiden. That was interesting.
Perks of being a death metal singer for like a year.
Yeah.
Now I'm a teacher.
Right? That's an interesting transition.
That's because
he sucks. You know what? I could have worked at any Starbucks I wanted to.
Now he's like, negative B plus or minus the square root of B squared minus 4AC all over 2A is the quadratic equation.
And then the students are like, why are you telling this as an English class?
Yeah. Because math.
Did you know that the quadratic formula goes to the theme of Pop Goes the Weasel?
Thank you so much, sir. Absolutely.
Bye, Gareth.
Thanks for talking
to us. Have a good one, man.
So I guess now that you've actually, things are working out for you, what do you have some goals for next year in your year two of HOJ?
I definitely want to keep growing the pull lists because that's the bread and butter. That's what keeps the store open. We've got plans for some additions. I'm going to run grid wall down the middle of all the long boxes so nobody can see this except for us because we're sitting here. But I've got these two giant runs of long boxes, and I'm going to put grid wall down the middle of those so that we can put more product there. And I want to do a local comic, you know, section to feature stuff like the guys that Red Team Go do, and some other local comic artists that have reached out that are doing cool shit that I want to help promote. Because
that's the attic.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, that's the champagne room upstairs. The beaded curtains.
VIP room.
Yes. Yes.
Exclusive access.
We hear you like locals.
Right. Here's some local for you.
Local single issues.
Exactly. That's genius.
Well, it's like,
read me.
We really appreciate you. I mean,
thanks. Thank you.
You're our store owner, and then you invite us out to record these episodes every so often. Even
in the fucking snow.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's really cool because it's given us even that same chance. You want to promote the locals. You know, our podcast grows with every guest that we have, everything that we do. You know, the likes that we get significantly anytime we mention someone else.
We're up to 88 now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that's a big departure from the original 8 I listened to the first 10 episodes.
That's
so
funny.
We're like,
one day they'll get shirts.
The running joke. I haven't brought that up in like 20 episodes.
It's been a while.
And
there it is.
So it's a callback. That's what we call in the business. A callback.
But, you know, it's so cool and it's so surreal to see your store grow because I come in like super close to when you close. And
right.
There's people coming in the shop, and you're like, do you have any recommendations for stuff? And then you just go off, and it's like, wow, this is really cool.
Right.
Or, like, I think this last, not this past week, the week before that, I came in, and you were talking to two people, just, you know, like, you know, and then there was this series, and just giving them all the details, like, here's stuff you should read.
That's the stuff that I love. Like, that's the stuff, like, there was a couple in here today that she's like, I want to read more horror comics, and she'd already read Witches and Nailbiter, and I was like, well, there's all this other stuff that's really good, too. So, that's fun to me. And the other thing that I love, like, so Violent Love came out, I think, 2 weeks ago from Image, which is a Bonnie and Clyde kind of, you know, crime romance book. There's not a lot of demand for crime romance stuff, but, you know, we...
That sounds really cool.
Right?
Can I get it off the shelf right now?
You can. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked.
I think it might be over there.
Well, I was looking at your Animosity. I'm like, you know what? Today's going to be the day. I'm going to buy all of Animosity, yeah. And it's gone off the shelf. I'm like...
I got some number twos behind the counter, so if you need one, let me know. I got number...
He's
got
the hookup.
Like, I think one's on the fifth printings, which is crazy. But I love that stuff like that we're bringing in, because I like to read weird shit, and I realize that a lot of people like to read weird shit. Ether, number one, you know, came out this week. That's a Matt Kent story, and I love his writing. He did Mind Management for Dark Horse, which was amazing. You know, we try to give stuff like that a chance. You know, we brought 10 copies in, and I think I sold 7 of them already, and it's Saturday. That shit blows me away. Like, I hope that at some point I'll figure out how to properly order comic books to meet the demand with the supply.
That's probably your biggest challenge.
You know,
what's going to sell,
do,
what won't.
Right.
Is that when you get those new number ones, you have your sticky notes, like, new this week. You should put, like, for fans of.
Right.
And then put
Absolutely.
Series.
And that's some stuff that I want to expand on. You know, new things that you may not be familiar with, have, like, a little synopsis, mm-hmm. have, you know, if you like whatever.
Again, if you need, like, just random 20-year-olds. Sure. I've been trying to get a job, John.
So
come on.
Creepy.
But no, like, one of the things I appreciate is you order all these new number ones, and I always forget to say, I'm like, hey, I'm interested in this, can you order it? But you would always have something on the shelf. Like,
sure.
Steve Orlando's Namesake came out this week, or last right. week, and I'm like, ooh, I forgot to tell John I wanted that. And then I'm like, shit, where is it? Yes, John has it.
And what probably my biggest thing I appreciate about your shop is I was the only person who had, like, Surviving Megalopolis on my
sure.
list,
yep.
and you still got that for
yeah.
me. Like,
well, all it is, like,
you treat okay. your customers there's, right? What?
What? Well, so, look.
I just worked retail.
Honestly, like, a lot of it has to do with the point of sale system that we use, which is tied into the demon that is Diamond Comics. But, you know, it makes doing stuff like that. It makes getting weird things for people. You know, I've got a guy, I don't know if he listens to this show or not, but he comes in every month, he buys a previews catalog, and he orders all of the weird, like, booby manga and creepy hentai stuff and statues. But I'll order it for him, and I don't judge him except for vetting him on this podcast right now. But, you know, like...
But Hall of Justice is a place for him.
Exactly. It takes no time and no effort, so why not? I mean, if you want it, I want to sell it to you. Yeah, I'm going to do that. So, you know, it's easy. I don't know how other stores do it, but I think a lot of it has to do with the point of sale system that we use, that it's so easy to do all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what I like,
and I give a shit.
What
so
I like
that's
most
cool.
Is, yeah, is the fact that you give a shit and you're very personal about it. Like when I went to the last comic shop I had a pull from, they didn't tell me, like, you went through the rebirth with something like, this is going to be this,
sure.
this, and this. Like, this is the story of what's coming out.
Right.
Where the other one, I was like, I had to look up everything beforehand and guess, like, I think I want this.
Sure.
Where they gave me the paper to write down everything I wanted and then just walked away. I was like, I don't know what I'm getting.
It's you know, and it's intimidating. For somebody that's new to comics, like, I see it all the time. I see people come in that have never been in the shop before, and they look at that giant section of new stuff, and they're like, where the fuck do I start? And so it's my job to figure out what you like and recommend something that you will hopefully like, because that's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, that's my job, basically. So I love that's my favorite part of it is trying to, you know, help people find something that they might absolutely love that they're not necessarily familiar with. That's not necessarily something from DC or Marvel or the big two or that sort of thing. So
yeah, again, you know, just because you're a really nice, personable guy, or we claim at least.
Sure, right. I beat my children.
At least to our faces.
Yeah. I mean,
like, God, I hate those guys.
It's
so
30
much.
Degrees out, and right? We've been out here for 4 hours.
Yeah,
it's quite cold on Saturday. I'm going to invite them to come record.
Right.
But, you know, coming into the shop and hearing those personal things, like, you're telling these guys about all these sci-fi stories, and as you're about to get to the register, you're like, oh, shit, I forgot Saga.
Right.
And I'm like, John, how could you forget
right.
Saga? And then it was like this whole thing, you like bring him over to the trades and you grab it and you're like, Saga. And you just go off and start telling the story. I'm like, you know, that's super cool because, again, Saga was something I had to find for myself.
Sure.
No one would ever tell me about things.
Right.
But
that sucks.
That's one of the things I like, that coming to the store, because, you know, it's not the stereotypical old fat dude.
I saw your hesitation with that. I take offense, sir.
But it's not that situation, because you come out, you talk to the people. You know, every time I come in, you're like, oh, hey, Zach, what's going on? Even, you know, I'm walking in with all the recording equipment. It's like, hey, Zach. I'm like, hey, John.
Right.
It's, you know, it's just a really cool experience that I get to have every time I come in here.
And sure.
I tell
cool.
my coworkers, I'm like, yeah, you know, my comic shop's a little bit out of my way, but it's something I like doing.
Right.
Not only do I get a sense of entertainment out of it, but I get to hang out with all these random cool people.
Sure.
Like, even if it's like a 5-minute conversation with some random dude talking about Archie.
Right.
No one reads Archie
right?
except for me. I'm like,
no, I have a guy.
Hey, Archie.
He reads Archie. I have another guy. There's a couple of Archie
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, it's like, because I was trying to, because again, I'm the siren, and I like to tell people about things and try and pull them in with me. I can't get these two on Archie with me. But it's
I have
like,
way too many things I'm reading,
yeah,
bro.
I have enough.
I'm
to
trying.
Read
I have to cut back right now.
But it's that situation. I'm like, I get to talk about things that I don't talk about with these guys with other people. So
right.
I was telling Matt with CCBE, I get to talk to people about other things. Like, Zach and I can talk about Black Monday Murders, and then I can go turn to Matt. And I'm like, dude, Black Monday Murders.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
And he has a whole new perspective that Zach
yep.
and I don't.
Yep.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's what like. I want the store to be a
Big
community.
Bang theory.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like, comic book collecting and reading is a very solitary experience, you know? And if you have a friend that is into it, yeah, you'll talk to your friend. But, you know, people come in, they talk to me because I run the shop, they buy their comics, and then they leave. And I want people to interact with each other when they're in the store and talk about the things that you read. Because just like you said, you're an Archie guy. There's one other Archie guy in that building right now, but you know,
all
you guys could
them.
Talk to everybody else and talk about Archie, and you could people appreciate that.
I need
cool.
to talk to Gabe about Clean Room.
Yeah, he's I think the only one. Eric read Clean Room too.
I
but
read
I don't
Clean
know.
Room.
I know you do. We need
I'm
a,
on
we
the
need
show.
More, yeah.
you need fresh opinions.
Yeah, I'm curious to see
yeah,
what Gabe thinks about
guy.
Since Gabe's the horror
sure.
guy.
Sure, sure. I have not read Clean Room.
So
that's what kills me. Like, I wish I had more time to read. I can't wait for the day
well,
where I get to be
20-year-olds in your local area.
I can't wait for the day when I get to be the fat, nerdy comic book guy behind the counter that just reads books and hopefully still be pleasant and.
Like we're talking Simpsons comic book guy.
No, or? No, not that extreme. Just John.
I mean, in the end, he enjoyed life.
yeah, true.
I spent
was,
all my time reading comic books.
Totally
worth
it,
right?
Is that the Simpsons movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Just got to double check.
Where they were trapped in the dome.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's awesome. And like I said, having, you know, I shopped at Grand Slam Comics in Greeley. I shopped at All Seas here. And I never knew a single person.
Really?
I had met Dom. Like, I talked to Dom, like, the few times I saw him in the store. But coming here, you, like, literally, you're like, oh, he's the other Archie guy. I'm
right.
like, oh, dude, Archie.
Right.
And then he and I have a 5-minute conversation. Or, you know, it's just a really friendly thing, whereas, like, when I walk into some stores, it's, like, sterile and cold.
Sure.
I'm like, am I allowed to talk in the store?
Right.
It yeah, frightens me.
You actually
so
know
weird.
Our names.
Yeah.
Like, within 2 weeks of me coming here, you knew my name.
Good.
Like, I walked in, and you're like, ah, oh, Mr. Phillips. I'm like, I like it here.
Well, he knows my last name? Yeah, that's the part that sticks outside of the chip reader.
Yeah, right.
You just like reading the card. I got to remember this name.
Like one of those things. You're like, how do you know my name? You got a name tag on. That's amazing.
That was Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, man.
Really
Max
amazing.
Dillon. You're my guy out here, Max.
Shit.
But, man, it's awesome. Like, I love coming here and I love doing these live shows.
Awesome.
I get to pull people. Like, I was joking with Sorrow. I'm like, Sorrow, dude, you want to hop on? He's like, yeah, sure, if you have the time. And we didn't get to him, but at the same time, you know, he wants to hop on, or, you know, Gareth hanging out, or Matt we just drag on. It's sure. a really cool experience.
Hey, where's the
animosity? It's gone.
It's I already
behind
looked.
The count.
Yes, it's well, we should wrap
no,
up
it's
anyway.
In, it's
Is that your secret stash?
No.
Is that where you're hiding all of seven to eternity?
No.
Where I'm going the next time John leaves the counter?
He's got a little.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Behind the desk.
You're gonna edit that out, right?
That's the whole.
I'll just bleep it out.
It's that's enough. John going like, "Hang on, wait a second," and then goes into it. Not like at, you know, not trying to. One store that I frequently visited, where it's like, "Oh, it was in your pool," goes into someone else's pool, grabs it out of it. I'm like, "Oh, you just screwed that person."
Yeah,
over.
He's got a secret part behind the fridge over there. Just Fonzie hits right. and opens up. And
yes.
You're like, "Yeah, I got that right here."
Yes. Or the other thing that you do, you know, you'll give me a damaged comic. It's like the spine's a little bit damaged. I'm like, I don't care.
Sure.
I just want to read.
I want to read Vision.
But you'd be some. The guy that just asked for the animosity, he would not accept that. He would lose his mind.
All right, guys, should we wrap this up?
We probably
we passed the 3-hour mark.
All right.
We
new
it.
Longest
wow.
episode.
We did
nice.
It.
We met our
quarter. We're congrats. In thinking outside the long box territory.
And it's freaking right. cold as hell out here.
It is.
We've only been out here for 4 hours.
I'm
three.
So sorry.
Three. Oh, okay, I guess almost four.
Almost
yeah,
four.
We're going on four.
All right.
What was?
Remember
I was going to say, let's just grab lunch
spot.
After this.
Yeah, I remember you're like, yeah, there's time after this to go see a movie. It's like, mm-hmm. Sure,
I really
want to
watch
it's Saturday.
I got Pokemon to go play.
All right.
They won't let me play my DS in the theater.
Right.
All right. So, John, thanks.
Yes.
Thank
thanks
you as
well. Oh, thank you guys for coming out and hanging out in the cold. And
we like it. We have the heat lamp now.
Yeah. Well, good. That's good.
Now that everyone else is gone.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't have to share.
It's passing around here now. Table to table.
We outlasted everyone else.
You are
wait,
the champions.
One last thing.
You get the official Logo Comic Shop Day / Anniversary Medal of Honor.
Yes.
Congrats.
Is there anything you're reading that you want to share about?
No, because I haven't read anything in a very I have Reborn and I have 7 to Eternity number 2 sitting on my nightstand at home. So that's going to happen some point, but I don't know when.
3 weeks, I'll ask you.
Yeah, exactly, and it'll probably again. Still be no.
We'll try this again at the next live event.
Right.
All right, thank you, John.
Thank
and
you
thank
guys
you.
Very much.
Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles, woo! Located in Parker, Colorado. You are wonderful. And as always, you can catch us, the Z2 Podcast, on Twitter, Facebook, and even our website, all using Z2 Podcast.
Z2Podcast.com.
And it's always a lovely experience. You can check out John in his shop. Like I said, Hall of Justice
check
Comics and
out.
Collectibles. He is a beautiful, beautiful man.
Fat man.
I'm really jealous that you've got to see Postmodern Jukebox.
They were amazing.
So jealous.
That's all my wife.
Yeah. And thank you again, this episode. And thank you all you lovely listeners who've stuck around for the 3-hour mark. And goodbye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Love you, Internet. That's not yours.
Wrong song.